is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
A word from Larry King.
Oh, I love that.
And by the way, a lot of number twos have done all right.
Can we hear that again, please?
Yeah, of course.
And by the way, a lot of number twos have done all right.
A lot of number twos have done all right?
Right.
And by the way, a lot of number twos have done all right.
There are.
A lot of number twos have done all right there, boy.
You know what I say?
Something stinks like stale French fries.
Is that Walken?
Yeah, it is.
French fries.
French fries.
Little man.
And by the way, a lot of number twos have done all right.
Could I hear the Walken again, please?
Oh, sure. Oh, the Walken. Oh, never mind. Never mind, Mike. Never mind. Never mind.
Oh.
That was Regis.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
Okay, the Belcher has been working.
Very good.
710 WOR. Real life. Real people. Real talk radio.
Jerome, White Plains, New York. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Good afternoon, gentle persons.
Hey, Jerome.
I was telling your call screener this is about the third time I've heard your show, and I think I'm addicted.
I think we're trying to make you addicted, Jerome.
Yeah. And forgive me for asking the question, but which one is Helican and which one is White?
I'm Ellis Hennigan.
And I'm Lynn White.
And say hello to Lynn White over here.
Ah, hello, Lynn.
Hey.
Oh, I know who you are, Lynn.
Oh.
Great. Yes, I've seen you on the television.
Oh, she's famous, Jerome.
Hey, hardly. Infamous.
She's famous.
What's your point today, Jerome, our new listener?
Yeah, which one of you resembles Michael Mara's paint more closely, the Elekin or the Hennigan?
You lost me there, Jerome.
Is that why you wanted to call, Jerome?
I wanted to call because Jerome. I've been holding a... and I was thinking I'd share that.
Very, very funny.
That's
Jerome,
so sweet.
Let's go to Diane, Edison, New Jersey. Hi, Diane.
I always get to follow those calls.
Right. How are you?
Diane, clean up that mess, will you?
In your karma, my friend. What are you doing wrong?
Can you be a little more mannish?
They're good.
My friend.
He made another one.
John in Manhattan, hello.
Good evening, gentle person. I'm hoping to be a voice of calm this evening.
It's about time.
I see a lot of people call screaming and yelling. And,
yes.
And people can be argumentative.
Yes, they can.
When they're trying to make a point and,
yes, sir.
And stand by it. I have to say, I watch you. Very often.
Thank you. You've got 30 seconds. Go
on
ahead.
The television.
Yes.
And I've been a fan of yours since way back when you were on NBC, when you had Elvis impersonators on. But my point is, it was great.
Uh-huh.
Well, the reason I'm calling is because of all the tragedies that have taken place over this weekend, the largest of which, I'd have to say, and the most horrible, is that Don Geronimo's washing machine broke down and he can't wash the nicotine stains out of his leader.
Well, I hope he gets it fixed. Thank you very much. Thanks for being my fan. I'm very proud that that's what I engender. It's 877-4-ALLEN, 877-36. What am I, a magnet tonight for these people?
Thank you.
Thank you.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Just a bunch of white trash.
What not? All of the Lord. Oh, you know I like the grassroots line. Come when I think back to when I've jammed with them at a craft fair and at a waterfront festival.
Didn't you jam with them at a mall, too?
Three times I've jammed with them. And whenever I hear them, I think it's time for something.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Stuff up on stage.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Oh, never mind.
Never mind.
That's so gay.
Oh, stop it.
I guess the question is, why do you have to be such a hump?
Stinky McStink face.
Is everybody happy?
Uh-oh,
big, 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 big,
You know.
I don't even know where that Jack Bauer came from. That was supposed to be Merrill Howard Kalin.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
There he is.
What? Stop that. Silly.
Silly?
Very silly indeed.
Very silly indeed.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Oh, no, you're dead.
Uh-oh, Chongo! Oh, we heard that one already.
Shut up.
I know it.
And this is a big butt. What not?
Oh, okay, big save. Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
welcome
back to the show.
Welcome. Hi, everybody.
Well, hi, everybody.
Howdy doody, little brains.
LBs.
We're little brains just like you are. This is the Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode on Wednesday. Phone number, we just had it a moment ago, 877-365-3636. We are not afraid of your on-screen calls. Hello,
you
Don and Mike
bet we're
Show.
Not.
Hello. Watch as we tried to stick our head into the lion's mouth.
That person was afraid of us.
Now we're going to try to stick our tongue into a fan again. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I'm an electrical fan. I mean,
I thought it was the other kind.
That's what Buzz does.
Fan of the show.
Buzz likes sticking his tongue in fans.
He enjoys that.
You like big fans, don't you, Buzz?
Big fans, little fans, fast fans, slow fans. He likes big fans, and he cannot lie.
Of course, you know that there's a chance you will get your tongue ripped off if you stick it in a fan and the fan happens to be moving.
Sometimes you just have to take that chance.
It's very dangerous to do that when you're trying to stick your tongue into a moving fan.
Oscillation. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hello. I speak to Don.
Yeah, yes, I'm here, along with all my buddies.
I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to answer it honestly.
Of course.
Yeah, why are you such an idiot?
There really is no answer for that.
No, none of us can answer.
You're asking the eternal question.
None of us can answer that question.
Well, Mike can answer it.
Why am I such an idiot?
Yeah.
No, I really can't. I mean, I know I am, but I can't. I mean, I know I'm an idiot. And
we are, therefore we are.
I mean, if we were able to answer that question, we wouldn't be idiots.
And furthermore, the fact that you are listening to the show makes you an even bigger idiot.
Well, we can turn it on you. Why are you such an idiot?
Hey, I'm a man. I can admit I'm an idiot.
Just did admit that we were idiots.
We are idiots.
Hey, no, listen, seriously, I want to tell you guys.
What?
I used to, I live in Fredericksburg, Virginia, but I used to travel up to Bye!
Yeah, thanks for the bio.
Did we? Are we on MySpace? Or
can't apparently give a bio after that kind of call.
Jesus Christ. Did we ask for your name and pertinent information?
Get all started.
This is not eHarmony.
You know, I think it's partially genetics and partially the way I was raised. There you go. I came up with an answer.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's why I'm an idiot.
Hello.
Hello.
I am because I choose to be. Idiot by choosing.
You always take the higher ground, don't you? You always take. That's a much better answer. I wish I'd come up with an answer. I'm more of an idiot than you are.
Hello. What's up?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
I'm stealing that, sir. Excuse me a second. This is Mike. I'm an idiot because I choose to be, too. Thank you.
What's up?
Don, I don't know if you knew this, but Creed Bratton of the Grassroots, he actually appears on The Office now.
Oh, I am so aware of that, my friend, but only you and I know who he is as far as him being in the Grassroots.
Is he the geeky guy?
No, that's Dwight.
Mm-hmm. Which one is
he? He's the old guy that occasionally has a funny line or does something funny.
Oh, the old guy.
You know the Well, hold on. Are we thinking about the same guy as an original Grassroots?
Is he Steve Carell? Was he in the Grassroots?
Or one of the
Carell?
Make-believe Grassroots?
That might be it, one of the make-believe ones.
Because I had heard that the reason I didn't dismiss this immediately, being the Grassroots expert that I am, is I had actually heard a rumor, but when you go through the cast of The Office, if you're talking about the old guy who has, like, the fake blog.
Yeah,
that guy's way too old to have been in the Grassroots, and the only other guy would be the bald guy that always says he wants to tap it, and then there's the big, fat, black guy.
Yeah.
And then, oh, hold on, Rob's at the microphone. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Hi. How are you? Anyway, so what were you saying?
An observation.
You on the phone there.
Oh, no, I just wanted to see if you knew that.
No, yes, I had heard that. Thank you. But I bet it's an urban legend.
I have a question for you, Rob. Yeah. I have a question.
Bye-bye.
They're much better, please. Thank you.
So we're going to get to that.
All good. Rob's bite.
But good for Mike for waiting 9 minutes into the show.
He gets so pissed. Wow. Doesn't he get about as pissed? He's gotten pissed at me over the years. He gets about as pissed at that as anything.
Sensitive to this.
He is very sensitive to his bug bite.
His leprosy.
Look at the maladies you've had. Why bug bites? Are the things that you've had that I've busted your balls about.
I know why.
But why is that?
That's
right. They all want to bite on you. They all want to suck on you.
They just gravitate to Rob.
They all want to stick their fingers into your moving fan.
Yeah, baby.
That's it. Oh, hey, listen, before we get to all of this, let me throw this out. Just a recipe for disaster.
Uh-oh.
Involving people that I know, but I am fortunately a third party in this. So I get a call from someone who is involved in this situation, talking about people that I know. Here's the deal. It's a husband and wife, and they have been married. Anybody knows. Well, some of us in this room know them, but that's all I'll say.
Okay. All right.
But it's nobody like connected with radio or anything. It's somebody from real life.
Gotcha.
So I must keep them as anonymous as possible. But this is just too weird that they separated. And he did the midlife crisis thing and got himself the penis extension, you know, the sports car, and moved out and left the lady and a kid. And he's out doing whatever he's doing. And they've been very contentious. And there's been a lot of fighting between the two of them and working things out. And as it turns out, this cat has business out of town all the time. That's part of what led to the demise of their relationship is the fact that from the city he lives in, he often has to travel for a week at a time to go somewhere else. Well, I heard from this other person today. Sorry to be so vague about this.
No, I think you're getting the point across.
The other person said, hey, you know that couple? And I said, sure. And the person said, well, the woman from the couple called me up last night and asked me if I could help her with some errands today. I said, well, why is that? She said, well, this person is flying to and mentioned... Well, let's just say Atlanta. Okay, let's say Atlanta when we really could mean Boston or Philadelphia. Or
the woman is flying?
Yes, because that's where the husband's job has taken him currently.
Gotcha.
The city she's flying to is almost 1,000 miles away from where she lives.
Gotcha.
She's getting herself all dolled up,
yeah,
and she's flying to this strange town to see her estranged husband who has moved out on her. And she's not telling him that she's showing up.
It's a surprise.
Oh, I'm telling you, friends.
That's a recipe. You said it. Recipe for disaster.
I mean.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Why?
I don't know. It's like the woman on Cops. You know, when the guy's being taken away because he's punched her in the face. And she's like going, I love him. Don't take him away.
Here's what I've noticed. And this is a long time this thing has been going on, right?
They've been married a long time, but their separation has been going on well over a year.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Women think differently than men, clearly, and this is another example, a prime example of that.
So is she just going to show up?
Yeah, I don't know the people.
He might not even be in the town.
Right. Oh, no, he's there. I mean, she's his wife. She knows where they're not divorced yet.
Oh, they're not divorced.
So she knows they're separated, but they're not 100% split up. I mean, he lives in his own place. She still lives in the house that they used to live in.
Does she know out of town has been part of the problem?
Yes.
Okay.
And I believe the way that it was phrased, I think what she's done is...
Out of town can cause problems.
She's kind of given herself a makeover and fixed her hair up and... Yeah. I guess she's going to go try to sex him up. And
are you familiar enough with the situation now with both parties where you could offer any opinion as to whether this move has any chance of success?
I told the person that told me that I think it has a 100% chance of failure that either she's going to get up there. I said, man, can you imagine that? You're at your job, and that's incidentally where she's planning on stopping by to ask him for a cup of coffee.
That works.
At whatever office it is that he happens to be based out of.
Is this out of left field, too?
Yeah.
I mean, because does this individual not have a interest in getting this thing back together? I mean, is this the first sign of this?
This individual has been pining to get back together.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Since the thing started to deteriorate. And the thing about the lady is, the wife in this, is that she is among the most mousy people you would ever meet. She has only been on an airplane, I think, 3 or 4 times in her whole life. And out of the blue,
wow,
she just says, that's it. Get me on a ticket to this city. I know he's here. Get me a ticket at this hotel. And I'm going, and I will report back tomorrow. I'm sure it's going to be absolute horror because...
Well, I hope it's not for her sake. No,
I told her, I figured they walk up to the lobby of whatever it is, Drexel Burnham or whatever.
Dunder Mifflin.
You know, and, yeah, thank you, Buzz, like on the office. And
right.
She stands there and she says, is Billy Joe here? And they go, Billy Joe to the front. And he comes out, he's got his arm around whoever the office piece of ass is.
the office Atlanta. Pump.
Because he's separated.
Yeah.
He's in this town. He's
out.
Did he initiate the separation?
Oh, you bet. Big time.
Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah. Big time.
She's probably in a world of hurt.
And even if the guy, like somebody said, even if the guy's there by himself being perfectly innocent, he's at work. It could be a very bad time. He may not give her the welcome that she's expecting.
Yeah, but you never know, though. You really never know.
Oh, I think I know. I would.
You're
right.
But
I mean, this is like what I said I knew about American Idol, too, though. So.
Well, you don't know. I mean,
you're not in the guy's head.
Yeah.
You don't know that maybe, you know. How long have they been apart? About a year?
About a year.
Now, you never know. He might be burned
I know
out.
Them. I know them. I've seen them. The last time I saw them together was when, you always know how it is when couples, you know, when someone says to you, hey, they're having problems, and then when you, because everybody talks, and then you get to their house, and it's like you immediately notice little things like, oh, uh-huh. Look at, oh yes, oh that's right, but on the surface, it appears to be fine.
Right. During the time that they have been separated, have you seen them together?
No.
Okay.
Oh,
have not.
So it's a real separation.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He's like, go away, leave me alone.
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, that's playing out right now. Hopefully not in a hotel room. That was the other thing that was mentioned was that if she couldn't find him at the office, she knew because she called someone at his office who she knows what hotel he's staying at. So can you imagine that? Ding dong.
Hello.
And he's in there, you know, getting it on with
sweaty
some Atlanta Falcons cheerleader.
Or all of them.
Or by
Yes, Robin.
Yeah, he might just be with the TV.
Or by himself.
Jesus.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, God
when's
damn.
This going to happen?
As we speak.
As we speak, it's happening today.
Yeah, the lady got on the plane this morning at about 10 o'clock. It's about a 2-hour flight. And then she's off to the big city.
Okay.
And her only fear, and this is so funny about people, her fear was that she would be mugged.
She is a little, not real worldly, is she?
Because she's going to a major city, and she doesn't live in a big city.
Wow.
She's got no problem with going to this guy's office, maybe going to his hotel room, see him boning some other chick, parading herself up and down as new and improved when he's in.
Is she perceiving this as kind of the last-ditch effort?
She said, her quote to my friend was that she had a premonition that if she went up there today, everything would work out.
Wow.
I have a premonition that there's a very good chance she's going to leave Atlanta with a boot in her ass.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Anyway, that's the type of friend I am. If I hear something about somebody, I'll talk about it, but I won't mention anyone's name.
I think you've kept it cryptic enough where, you know, it's everybody's being respected.
Anyway, it's happening right now.
Ooh. It's the talk of the town.
Scared kids.
The talk of the town.
Oh, my God. I was like a hen on the phone this morning. Seriously, I could have been like one of those bitches on The View.
What about the vagina?
Right. I was going, oh, my God. Can you imagine what's going to happen?
You were coffee clutching.
If she goes up there and she walks, what is it, the hotel? Oh, my God. Hold on. Let me get more coffee.
You're like one of the girls.
Yeah, I know. Retarded. Just retarded. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, she's setting him up. If she goes up there all dolled up, like she's trying to make this last-ditch effort and goes up there and he's got another girl or whatever, he's, you know, she's basically setting him up saying, I'm trying my hardest and this is what you're doing. I think she has an inkling of what's going on.
I agree with this guy completely.
Hold on a second. If I write down the name of the person, you'll immediately know the level of stupidity.
Okay.
And you'll know that.
But I kind of see where this guy's coming from.
But let me just write down the name, and then you will
set up to fail.
And then you will know that this woman, as much as I care for her, she is simply holding, that's who it is.
Oh. Oh, okay. I had no idea.
Right.
Oh.
You didn't know?
No.
Good guessing game.
That is a...
Rob, are you totally surprised?
Absolutely.
By that?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's who told me.
Wow.
See?
Oh, okay.
Funny.
What? Yeah.
So now that you know the woman, you know that she certainly is no independent babe.
No.
She's not going up there with any thoughts that she's going to get something to entrap him. She's going up there simply because she's going to present herself one last night, which is why I feel awful for her.
Sure.
She's going up there to present herself like as a human buffet.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's going to say, honey, I got tired of eating this meal 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That's why I went to a new restaurant.
Couldn't take another bite.
Well, then you'll get a fresh update, I'm sure.
It might work if she really gets dolled up.
Robbie, no amount of makeup.
No,
wow.
There is no amount of construction equipment.
That's amazing.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Amazing.
Hello.
Don and Mike Radio Guide.
Howdy, what's up?
I love your show, and I've listened for many years.
That makes one of you. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think it makes multitudes and masses of us. I've met you guys a couple of times. Mike.
Yes.
I wanted to check out your restaurant this weekend.
All right.
And I went down there, and I'm
Hank's
a big
Look Around Cafe.
Right. And I went down, I'm a big baseball fan just like you, and I went down there in a local team's jersey here in the D.C. area, and they denied me access. They said that they got a dress code down there. No,
there's no dress code. It was, what's your first name?
My first name's Adam.
Adam, yeah, it was you. It wasn't the dress code.
Bye-bye.
It was just you.
Adam, please.
You didn't know about the no Adam rule?
Nope.
Do what everyone else does when they go to Mike's. Just call the health board.
Oh, God.
Oh,
thank you, Adam. Thanks so much.
My best to Eve.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Adam and Eve.
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. Hey. It was No Prick Sunday.
Hello, what's up?
I didn't know Beth Ann was married.
Beth Ann does that for a variety of men around the country. Just gets all dolled up and flies to different cities.
Right now, Beth Ann is working very hard on that website, though, to get her free implants.
Freeimplants.com.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hello?
The radio show that you're listening to that you just called has answered the telephone.
It's you.
I know, it's fun. God damn, it's the bee's knees, ain't it? I swear to Christ, it's more fun than going to the bathroom.
Well, not quite.
What's up, radio guys? How you doing?
Hi there. And I hope that going to the bathroom for you is as enjoyable an experience as it is for all of us here on the Don and Mike family.
Except for Rob.
Oh, not even close.
Rob has some issues. It's his mosquito bites. It makes going to the bathroom painful.
I got a question for you.
What would that be, sir?
What would I have to do to get into your fantasy league next year?
Oh, we had a listener in our fantasy league last year.
I think this year we are going. I think we're going to go with a disabled listener. So in some way, you would have to disable yourself.
You have time.
You just made that up.
Of course I did.
That's wonderful. What a great idea.
Good job.
Like so many ideas that are just made up, it's a terrific idea.
You must be disabled. Physically disabled in some way to be.
Or mentally disabled. Mentally incapacitated.
Yeah, either way.
Something to shoot for.
Either or.
So it could be something, as easy as, taking off a digit or two or just pounding your head up against the wall until you're incoherent.
I got six kids, so I can't break a leg or nothing like that. I got to work.
Yeah,
I understand. Well, then you can't be in our league, my friend.
Enjoy those children during the football season.
Say what?
Right.
Uh-huh. Bye!
Say what? Hello there. Hot as my show.
What not? Say
hello.
What?
Hello.
Hello, Michael. It's good to hear you.
Yeah. It's not my name.
A-H. Again, hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
A-hole, A-H.
Uh-huh. Actually, who's that at?
Also Adolf Hitler.
Oh, isn't that coincidence?
Hello.
Yeah,
Don
and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hello.
Yes, I have a question. There's something been bothering me since I've been a little kid here.
What's with the accent? Hold on. There's some sort of accent you're using. That's not your real voice.
No, it's my real voice. It's my real voice.
All right, continue, please.
It's nervous.
Yes, Barney Rubble, where did this man work?
He worked at the quarry with Fred.
No, no. He'd usually drop them off.
Did Barney... I don't think Barney works at the quarry, did he?
Excuse me, I was speaking about the movie Flintstones.
Oh, yeah.
With John Goodman, and that adaption, yes, Barney did, in fact, work at the place. I don't know.
Remember Halle Berry in that movie?
Yeah,
that bothered me since I've been a little boy, so please help me.
What did Barney Rubble do? He must have had some kind of job.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio gods.
I don't know, I would have guessed anyway, just with the cartoon, the quarry, but obviously that was wrong.
His name was Rubble.
I thought it was implied he worked.
Of course, they all had rock names.
He worked with Fred.
He usually did drop him. I think he had just had like an office job.
I think he was unemployed.
They never showed Barney in his office.
No, but I think it was perhaps implied because he did drop Fred off at the quarry.
Yeah, but they never implied that Barney was white collar and that Fred was blue collar.
No, that's true. I think they were both blue collar. Because it was like, wasn't it the Honeymooners?
They were
white collars then.
And didn't they live right next to each other, like in the same bad track home neighborhood?
They did.
They lived right across from each other.
Next door.
Next door neighbors.
And they competed. Do you remember the friction when Fred put in a swimming pool? Oh, my God.
I don't remember that episode.
I don't remember that either.
So they really did butt heads.
But more often than not,
they confided in each other.
They
were best buddies. They didn't come to blows until Gazoo entered the scene.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he was a prick.
Hello, Flintstones. This is Gazoo.
Gazoo, the great Gazoo.
The great Gazoo with the oversized head.
Harvey Korman.
Hello. Was that Harvey Korman's voice? Hey, hello, what's up?
I have a question for Mike.
Yes.
Mike, restaurateur?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I was saying yes, and I didn't hear your question. Yes.
Yeah.
My question is about a friend I have.
Yes.
He likes Bacardi.
Yes.
And he prefers to drink his Bacardi. He calls it his medicine.
Yes, I do too, yes.
He drinks it out of one of those glass fake gas pump decanters.
Yep.
What is that?
It's happiness is what that is.
There you go. There's a happy caller.
Yes. Glad to have helped. Yes.
Michael Merritt to the rescue.
Yes, drink out of any decanter, as long as the booze is real. That's all that really matters. Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Yes.
Don and Mike show.
I wanted to make a comment on the...
Turn your radio down.
I'd like to make a comment on people who call and have their radios up too loud. I don't like them. I'll hang up and listen.
Yes.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
I know a lady that did the same thing that that lady in Atlanta's doing this afternoon, and the man fell for the bait, and she talked him into tying him up on the bed, and she pulled out a baseball bat and beat the crap out of him.
Wow.
Well, I only wish, again, we're talking about, seriously, we're talking about a woman here with very limited... very limited mental capacity, the woman that we're talking about. So,
and meek.
I don't think that she's got it in her.
Breaking news.
Yes?
While the subject of Barney's occupation or even where he worked...
I knew it. I knew that would be what people go nuts behind the scenes on this show. I knew people were running and scrambling, and I knew that we'd have that information.
Subsequent spinoffs suggest Barney went to work at the Slate Rock and Gravel Company quarry alongside Fred at some point after the original series episodes take place, possibly in some office role. One episode had Fred inadvertently getting him fired, then helping Barney finding work as a repo man who ended up having to repossess Fred's TV set.
Thanks to the real producer of our show, Wikipedia.
And one of the original series does have a brief scene of Barney working at the Granite Building, which is like an office building like the Empire State Building.
So the answer is really, we don't really know.
No, and with the death of Joe Barbera, we may never know.
Joe Barbera.
Okay, thank you.
Keep a job. Bye-bye. Anything you want to know about cartoons?
You got to remember, that has an off button. That microphone has an off button.
Yes, it does.
I was purely instinctive earlier in the show, and I didn't turn his microphone on. You know, never, kids. Hi, kids. It's Don from the radio. I'm here with my buddy Mike.
Hello. Yes.
First off, always get a haircut. Listen to your moms and pops. And third, trust your instincts. If Rob is near the microphone, turn it off. Just say no.
Otherwise, you'll get one of those facts that you don't realize you didn't want, like Joe Barbera.
Because you know he's going to be all over the microphone plenty soon, as soon as we start dissecting his leprosy arms. All of the heinous open pus sores that cover. And Yesterday he said he has 70 mosquito bites. Today we shall attempt to count each of them.
Oh, my God.
On every inch. Bites.
Mosquito bites of the variety that say, land on me and just chew.
And really, if Al Gore invented the internet for one thing, it was for the picture of Rob's forearms.
Yeah.
Because
they're lovely.
It looks like something out of one of those medical journals that doctors used to send us.
Like a dermatological survey, yeah. You know, that they had. They used to have, we had forensic students at American University, and they used to bring their, you know, their crime scene photos down there, and his arms looked like, you know, they were hit with buckshot.
Uh-huh, they do.
Nasty.
So, Rob,
I've lost use of my right arm.
So, Rob, really, to be honest, I mean, not to nitpick, but it's really not known where Barney Rubble were.
Right. But those are all possibilities.
Yeah, there was never really a definitive answer. That is the answer, that Barney really didn't have a definitive job.
So I hope that guy's life can be more complete now that he knows no one else knows either.
They didn't want to use up the animation energy to have a subplot of Barney's job. They wanted to just keep Barney at Fred's house, and the subplots would take place at the quarry where Fred worked.
Hello there.
Didn't I sound authoritative there?
Sure, Don and Mike show. Right, because they wanted to, what did you say they wanted to save?
I don't know.
Save the animation?
Save the animation time.
So someone's arm wouldn't get tired?
Exactly.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Use up crayons.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, this is the radio. Hello.
Yeah.
This is your radio.
Hello.
Yes, it's you. Go ahead.
Is it on a mic?
Come on now. Don't be stupid.
You can't help it, Mike.
Oh. Hey, did you know there was two D's over here in Sacramento?
Did we know what, friend?
It's a D's nut setup.
Right.
Did you know there was two D's in Sacramento?
Yes, we did. Thank you for calling. Good night.
D's what?
Delicious. That's great. No wonder the whales don't want to go back to the Pacific. No wonder they want to hang out in the river near Sacramento.
You know, I'm really surprised that none of the like morning zoo DJs in Sacramento have taken the time. I mean, if I was them, every time I see that report on the news, I would say, well, here's the latest on Don and Mike. Right, because the story is just always of these two big, gigantic, fat whales that are stuck in
Sacramento. You think about radio so much that you even think about the other disc jockeys and what they can say about us before they think about it. That's pretty good.
Don
and Mike. Well, there's no reason we can't have them named. That's good for us.
They go part of the button like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean,
do they have names? Have they named the whales out in Sacramento?
They just made it out today. It's too late now. It's over now.
Are they gone? Are they in the Pacific Ocean now?
They're in San Francisco Bay where
they're out of the river.
Where they have salt water and their owies are getting better.
Don and Mike are going out to the sea.
Hello there.
We could call local news stations in Sacramento seriously and ask, what about the whales, Don and Mike? Hello. And then you get a junior producer for the evening news, and I guarantee they'd put it on. Because they're so stupid they don't check their facts, you would say, listen, we're checking on the whales, Don and Mike.
Hello there. Don and Mike show.
Lord, m'lady, how are you today?
Hey, what's happening?
Nothing much. I come to you, a young man in need of guidance from your wisdom and your voluminous tomes of history.
Finally, a caller who knows how to make it happen.
Amen.
Sure. What's up, Junior?
Well, I'm a young lad of 24 years old whom has fallen in love.
Oh, dear.
I've fallen in love.
No good can come of that.
I must say something. Thy sounds retarded to me, ye old retardedo.
Prithee, thou tellest, who is thine young wench that thou hast been smitten by?
Oh, I am in deep smit by this young lady whom I met at university.
What pray tell is her name?
Her name would be Jennifer.
Wrong. It should be Rapunzel.
And is she a fine wench?
Oh, ye gods, how fine she be. quite an unremarkable beauty, but one, if you saw it, the type of woman who doesn't need makeup, you know?
Does she loosen her bodice when you ply her with mead?
Oh, that was never a problem for me.
Thou thinkst thou is the stud.
Well, she always said. I was with this girl, but she hath left me.
Dost thou have an enormous staff?
It makes its presence known and gets the job done. But I would not say it's anything to write home about. Nothing that will end up in a sonnet.
Did I leave? Did I leave the sword in the stone?
Nay.
God damn it. Like second time is like the same time of the show.
I'm like drowning.
Got a big glass. I'll leave the sword in the stone.
All right, without all the ye old stuff.
Basically, you know, my girlfriend left me, and I still am all broken up about it.
Listen, hold on just 1 second, please. Seriously, the best advice I ever got. Women are like trains. If you miss one, the next one is 5 minutes away. Thank you.
There it
Bye.
Is.
Catch and release. Thank you.
Bye.
Get out of here. Goodbye. There's more of us than there are of them. We're in higher demand.
Bye.
Catch and release.
Bye. We make the world go round.
Bye.
We Thank spread you. Our seed.
Bye.
Can't make them without us.
Mm-hmm.
Got the special recipe.
Remember, it's we can run down and do that one, or we can walk down and do them all. Okay?
Hello there. Don Mike Show. Hello there.
Yeah, Mike wanted to know what Barney did.
No, you're behind because our crack staff has already gone to Wikipedia and come up with what Barney Ribble didn't do.
Barney did Betty, though.
Okay, that's right. He's true. Barney did Betty
that
all
was a
the
great,
time.
That was the movie that they made out of the Flintstones, Barney Does Betty. What a great name for a porno.
That
Barney
worked.
Does Betty. Sure. It's done. Right now, somebody in, like, Canoga is driving to Canoga right now from Sacramento to say, Barney Does Betty, I got it.
Both Betty and, what's her name, Wilma, had the same rocket cartoon bodies.
Yeah, but Wilma was much more doable.
Much like Betty and Veronica from Archie Comics had the same rockin' body.
Wasn't Betty littler?
I always got the feeling that that Betty would be a better lay than Wilma.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, I thought Wilma would be.
Wilma's too motherly, don't you think?
Wilma's lean, mean fight machine. Betty was more schlubby.
No. I bet he's got that short hair, wearing those short dresses.
Well, they
all
both
the time.
Had the short hair. They had the exact same hairdo.
No, Wilma had her hair up. She had a bone in her hair.
Yeah. Exactly. Look, this is the microphone. This is his subject. This is something he desperately needs to talk about.
Go ahead. We'll hear you without the microphone. Okay. You're funny. You're funny just mouthing the words.
Betty had a ribbon in her hair, and that's never good.
How the hell do you know that? How do you know that? How do you know that, Betty? Show me the evidence. I don't believe you.
I was that weird little kid.
It's a blue, Mike, I remember. It's a blue ribbon. Yeah.
No, it's
ribbon.
Not a question of being the weird little kid that watched cartoons.
Everybody
I'll take the mosquito bites, but Jesus. The weird little kid that watched you remember that she had a ribbon in her hair.
You should.
Nobody remembers that.
See, you don't need a microphone.
Your mind is failing you.
You can broadcast.
Oh, yeah, I
microphone.
Have Alzheimer's.
No, I never said
okay,
that.
Bites.
You don't know about the ribbon.
The ribbon.
And this is with his microphone turned off.
Yeah. He's bellowing is what he's doing.
That's right.
Strangely, I'm enjoying it.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Denny Crane.
Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hi there.
Hey, you were wondering about the those names for the whales. They were stuck in the Sacramento Delta, so they named them Delta and Don. How lame is
that? Oh, that is such a suck-ass name.
Delta Don. What's that flower you have on? Could it be a faded rose?
Seriously.
Wow.
Helen Reddy might as well be a man, baby.
Wonder what she looks like now.
Ugh. Cancer victim is what she looks like now.
She may be, actually.
Well, maybe that's why she looked that way.
Take it all back.
Not sure.
Now,
don't I have cancer on my face?
Yeah, Greg House thought it was funny.
We should break and come back and... look at Rob's mosquito bites.
Very good.
And hear about Joe's trip to Las Vegas. Right. And isn't it great hearing from Joe? He's still jet lagged. Did you hear him before the show mentioned?
Yes.
I'm still kind of jet lagged, you know. And he's just tossing cans to get his segment today.
Well, he's got him an airline story is what he's got.
Here he came in and he walked in and he just like throws the cinch around. He says,
yep.
And jet lag, can't tell if you went to Vegas just for a weekend. Almost like,
don't forget the statute of limitations on my story's about to run out if you don't get to me today.
Called Alice Cooper, saw Alice Cooper skins. Called John, called Rob.
I asked him. I said, "Did you gamble at all?" And he said to me, "No, just parties."
Not parties.
Not much gambling, just party to party.
Had a balcony. Got to look down on the strip.
And is it jet lag or champagne lag? Because he had a little of that, I understand.
Was that when he went on the helicopter ride?
I got it.
Yes.
He's virtually told everybody the whole story already.
Yeah, a nighttime helicopter ride. Yeah, but none of the details.
Right.
Don't forget, got a big segment coming up.
Can't wait to hear it. Vegas with Joe.
Mostly party.
Joe, you're going to have to wait, though, because Rob's bites come first.
Rob's hideous arms.
My God.
Can we have his arms on the internet now?
We will. We'll take the photos. As a matter of fact, not only his arms, Rob, where are the I know the majority of the mosquito bites
the arms.
Are on your arms.
Because I had a shirt and pants on.
Unlike some of your previous trips.
Exactly.
Right.
So you said yesterday you have 70?
That was my guess.
How many do you think you have really?
48.
Yeah. And all of them on your arms?
Maybe 5 or 6 on my legs. Beautiful manly legs.
Okay. They stayed away from your legs, but you were wearing shorts, right?
I was wearing
capri pants. That's why he's only got 4 or 5 on the lower part of his ankle.
Let me see your forearm. You know, they don't look as diseased as yesterday.
No, they don't. They're not nearly as angry. How about the other arm?
Look at the backs of his upper arms, too, though.
Okay, let's see.
The backs of his upper arms?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Anything?
They're not as angry as they were.
Like that part over there?
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is not even worth the airtime.
A pointer you can move fabric
isn't
with.
Isn't it right over here, Buzz?
Yeah, the backside, yeah.
This is disappointing. They're much less angry than they were yesterday.
I didn't medicate them last night.
Good for you.
And I did wake up scratching.
You did?
Yeah.
Let's see the other arm. Oh, that's definitely a game of your arm. Look at that arm. Look down by the elbow there.
Down here?
Yeah, that's much more leopard-like.
But, Mike, you know what he needs to do? Mm-hmm. What he needs to do is go give them a fresh scratch to kind of freshen them up.
Yeah, just to raise them up a little bit.
Did someone bring in a cheese grater?
And then we'll make sure that he gives himself a good scratching, and then we'll take the photo.
Joe, good news. I've just decided we'll go with your story next. Sorry, Rob, the arms don't appear to be as diseased today as they were yesterday.
They're not as hideous.
Damn my healing body.
Yeah, all right. Well, forget
I'm alive!
Oh, you know what? No, we didn't hear it yesterday from you, Rob. Please do step up to the microphone and tell us about your kids learning the F word this weekend.
Oh.
We were on the beach. This is after the bug bites were done, so we were relaxing on the beach. And, you know, you can you keep an eye on your kids, but at a beach, at a distance, you don't hear them. You just see them messing around. And I hear escalating volume. And it was like, no, you didn't. Yes, you did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. And then it gets bigger and bigger. And then eventually, Julia starts crying and runs to us.
This is brother-sister arguing?
Yeah, Julia is 6. Robert is 4. And I said, what's the problem? Robert said the F word. And they both
that's
just finished
your
up
boy,
school. Just finishing up their year of school, Julia in kindergarten and Robert in preschool. And, you know, that's really one I don't use around the house. I've said some other ones around the house, but I don't say that one.
You use it. You just wait till the kids are asleep.
Carrie doesn't even know the word in any sense, noun or verb. And so I look at her and I say, this is nothing I did. And we're thinking, God, who could they have learned it from? So we call Robert over. And I said, Robert, did you say the F word? He said, no, I didn't. And Julie said, yes, he did. And it goes back and forth. And then he counters with, well, Julia said the F word, too.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, now, wait a minute. When you put your hands up like
that. Yeah, your arms are,
look at his
your arms.
Arms
are pretty spotted.
Oh, my God. Now you can see it. It's all the way down to the wrist.
It's the lighting from where he is right now.
So,
Joe, we might hold off on that story and really take the pictures of Rob's arms in the next break.
So it goes back and forth, and I realize that if we keep up at this rate, they're going to get upset, and they're not going to tell us what they're talking about. They said, listen, guys, it's no big deal. You need to tell me what about this F word. Who did you learn the F word from?
Fudge.
And they said, we just know it. And I said, well, you know, you can always tell us anything and we won't get mad. And Carrie said, yeah, you should tell us so we know. It might not be a polite word. And they finally, after much browbeating, Robert said, I did say the F word. And Julia said, he did. And I said, and what is the F word? He said, fart.
Oh, it was just fart.
It was only fart. But there was two strong men.
Pixie.
It's just far.
But there was such urgency in their voices.
Yeah.
I really thought that we were
That was very cute. That wasn't exactly as advertised.
No,
it wasn't exactly as advertised. Because if you remember, it was yesterday he said, incidentally, Rob off the air said,
don't forget to ask me about my kids and the F-bomb.
And the F-bomb.
Oh, I said F-word.
Oh, the F-word.
Yes,
F-word. You're, you know what? You're a conjurer. You're a conjurer. You're a carny.
Can't you just enjoy the fact that my children still don't know that horrible?
And then she said, fart. Aren't they cute little kids?
It won't be long now before they're painting with it, just like we do here in the studio.
We should break. I have to call Reader's Digest to see if it's been
They wouldn't accept fart.
All right. Yeah, big baby.
Right.
Hold on a second. We'll be right back. Would you seriously consider scratching your arms before we come back?
I would let Mike scratch my
arm. Oh, God, gross, 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 gross. Not a chance. Oh, God.
What about if he let you use something like a ruler?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, if I don't have to touch it with my hands.
Splash him with alcohol.
What if we got you latex gloves?
No, it's still gross. It's still running my hands over those welts. That's so disgusting.
I'd scratch him with CSI gloves.
Yeah, of course you would.
Sure.
Yeah, I know. He used to cut your hair.
What? Yes, Rob, you
you're comfortable with him touching you and you touching him.
What? You are too.
Because he used to give me like the haircut, the military haircut.
You know, this actually, I'm trying to make this into a gay thing, and I should stop right there when the fact is it's just looking at those. Hold those arms up against.
Yeah, come on.
And you know if he just goes to the back room.
But you know what? It'll be better if he scratches with his own nails.
If he just does some scratchy, they're gonna get angry and red like they were yesterday.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And then they really jump out and say hello.
But we ought to wait till we're on the air again and have him just rake his fingernails over them.
Would you scratch on air?
Of course.
Oh, good.
All right, good boy.
Sorry, I said that like you're a dog. Good boy, Rob.
The F-word is fart.
Oh, you're a bad dog.
Pixie.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don.
Well, couldn't really find a wacky Flintstones tape to rejoin with, so let's just hear the Flintstones in Spanish.
They sure work hard, don't they, buddy?
Oh, take it back. Hold on a second.
Vilma, ¿dónde estás?
Aquí estoy, Pedro, debajo de la cama.
¿Debajo de la cama?
Eso es lo que dije.
Te asustó ese malvado merodeador, ¿eh? Mamá, regresé por el botín. ¡El merodeador!
Oh, that is good.
I like that.
And how about the Flintstones doing an ad for cigarettes?
So hot. Yeah, me too. Let's go around back where we can't see him.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay.
How's about taking a nap?
Hey, I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here. Ahead of the pure white filter, Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette.
There you go.
Cartoons.
The Flintstones.
Their show is Novelty Store Big. Don Geronimo and Michael Mella.
Flintstones.
Never mind.
Flintstones. God damn, we've got another tape as well from about around the same period of time. We should do that now. It would make sense. It's simply labeled, and then we'll get right to Rob's arms and Joe and everything else.
Everybody in their weekend, and they're still recovering from it, and everybody's come back injured, wounded.
Okay, let me see. Matt, get the plastic fork ready. Scratch Rob's arms.
Ew.
Have Matt the intern do it. Politically correct from the 1960s Jell-O ad.
Incorrect.
What did I say?
Politically incorrect?
Yeah. Excuse me. Politically incorrect ad.
All right.
Back to present ancient Chinese pantomime, just for fun of it, Jell-O tonight. Back to present small Chinese type baby waiting for dessert. Chinese mother bling baby, Jell-O, famous Western delicacy. Poor Chinese baby. He unable to tell if this Jell-O is strawberry, raspberry, jelly, orange, lemon, lime, apple, black raspberry, black jelly, or grape.
Can you say grape?
He's like saying strawberry glaze. They're just doing the total, you know, it's some white guy that's doing the accent.
It is from the same time, the same genre as the Flintstones doing the ad for the cigarette commercials.
Yes, politically incorrect is right. You would not hear that commercial today.
Matt, the intern, how you doing?
Doing good. What's going on?
Why are you wearing headphones?
Make me look cool.
Take them off, son. Take them off. Thank you.
Don't get too comfortable in here.
Thank you.
It's a big mistake.
And now back to the Jell-O spot.
Now come in all 10 flavors. Poor Chinese baby. But Chinese mother, bling baby, great Western invention. Spoon. Spoon was invented for eating Jell-O. Baby fine, this is grape Jell-O.
Oh.
Deep, dark, delicious new flavor. Chinese baby, very happy. So, an ancient Chinese pantomime is pretty good commercial, no?
For Jell-O. Chinese baby gets special new invention, a spoon.
Politically incorrect.
There it is.
All right, we're up to Rob's incredible mosquito-bitten arms.
Uh-huh. Like he was covered with honey. Yeah.
Step up, please, boys. Step up to that microphone.
Very sensitive about it.
And now let's see if we can actually get the sound of Matt the intern scratching your mosquito bites with a plastic fork. Here we go.
All right, here we go. Let's get that microphone right down there.
How'd that feel? Delightful.
There you go.
Rob's just holding up his big meat hooks.
You know, it's really not bad.
Hey, Matt.
Are you enjoying this?
How long have you been an intern, son?
A couple weeks.
Okay. Here's your very first chance to get on the webpage. Okay, Rob, put your arm back up there.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now scrape. Now, Matt, lick.
Ah!
Lick. Just put your tongue on one of Rob's owies.
I don't know that I'm comfortable.
Oh, come on. What are you going to get?
All right, man up. It's just an open wound.
Oh.
Pick one of the guys.
Oh, God.
You get it, John? Is it enough?
Oh, yeah.
We need one more, please. One more picture of you licking it.
Oh, right on the wound.
Lick his wound. Do it, Matt. Come on, Matt.
Go. Oh, that's going to be one nasty photo. Oh, God. Now, did you raise them? Are they a little angrier now?
Matt, I think you might need to go over and scratch the ones on his left arm.
And, Rob, you know the way you ought to present your wounds to Matt, just like you
Listen,
did with
Listen, I know how to present.
just hold them up like that, like you were just doing that. Now hit them. Oh, yeah, now you can get them.
Go ahead, scratch them.
Yeah.
Oh.
Rob has these mosquito bites that are big, gigantic red welts.
Go to it, Matt. Go to it.
All over his arms. I mean,
I believe one just opened.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty severe.
Did it?
Yeah. Is one weeping now?
Yes, and you know it doesn't really put out blood. It puts out like a yellow fluid.
It's like the venom.
Yeah, I guess.
Are you getting any relief at all from this?
It's not horrible, but what happens is I realize
hit the other arm.
I'm being licked, and I'm being
no hit. Wrong way. Down.
With a fork
against the grain.
You know what it is?
What?
It's hideous ecstasy.
Sure is. So you're getting some relief.
Yeah, because they itch constantly.
If you're at a rave this weekend, watch out for the hideous ecstasy.
Oh, yeah.
We've heard there's some hideous ecstasy in the crowd.
Don't take the hideous ecstasy.
But I've learned my lesson. No matter what, I'm going to live in Cutter Brandon's secretary.
All right, now, Johnny, can you get in here with that camera and get a good shot of Rob's big forearms?
Now that they're raised.
Absolutely. And Matt, just one more job for you, and then you'll be done. As we wait for John to come back with the camera here, good. You present, please, Robbie, your arms. We'll put these right on the website. There you go. Nice big smile from Rob and his diseased arms.
Yeah.
And now, Matt.
Yes.
All you got to do is put that fork in your mouth.
Yeah!
Can I wipe it first?
No, it would be no fun if you wipe it. Just put it in your mouth.
Oh, okay. Yick.
Thank you, Matt.
Icky poo.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God.
I'm guessing that'll be in the photo gallery section of DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Rob, are you putting rubbing alcohol on your arms?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll make
them
even...
be open.
That'll be even angrier
now. Well, it'll dry them, too.
And Matt, give Joe his fork back.
Yeah, he's got to have his lunch.
And Rob, I did want to hit it where I got licked. So.
Yeah, I do bust your balls a lot, but I will say that you are a good sport for letting him scratch you and even
scratch
more.
Oh, you want to talk about Red? You want to talk about Red now that he's put the alcohol on him?
Let me see him now.
He's just pouring the alcohol. Oh. Now, after you do that, Rob, hold up your arms to Don and look.
We need more pictures.
More photos.
Johnny.
Smell that alcohol. How's it feel? Does that feel good too, tingly?
Actually, that does feel good. That brings the itching away and replaces it with pain.
When you wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning with gangrene.
Here we go. We need some more pictures.
Smelled like they just cleaned my head.
Look at that. My God. You ever been with a woman?
Have I?
Hold on a second. You ever been with a woman and she takes her clothes off and you see something like that going on?
And thank God I haven't, but the other way?
I meant on her legs or something, not down there,
yeah.
But I mean...
Well, like a little rash or poison ivy or something like that?
Yeah.
Not that we've noticed.
I don't know why that made me think of, have you ever been with a woman when she's been like that? But
well, as a DJ, I might have had one experience where there were, welts likely to happen.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure I have.
Yeah, there were welts one time.
God damn, those are gross. Have you been to a doctor about those, Rob?
It's an epidemic
of bug bites.
West Nile, you've seen the dead birds out here, but you're down in the God's country.
We've seen
there,
right? A dead bird a year ago.
Rob, there have been two.
Never felt bad.
You might have Rift Valley fever.
What's that?
Well, we looked on the web and we found a bunch of diseases that come with the same type pictures as big-ass mosquito bites like you.
Wow. I love it when you get on the website of the Centers for Disease Control.
How terribly helpful.
I live there on their message boards. Mm-hmm. LOLROFL. Rift Valley fever is an acute fever-causing viral disease that attacks domestic animals and humans.
Mm-hmm. How's your temperature, boy?
I think it feels okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
A little flush.
Hold on. How do humans get Rift Valley fever?
How?
Do.
Rift Valley?
Humans get RVF through bites from infected mosquitoes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear.
Humans get the disease if they're exposed to blood, bloody fluids, or tissues of infected animals. Now, that simply is Rift Valley fever.
I didn't see any feverish mosquitoes the whole weekend.
So the only way he could get that, other than what he did, which was getting bitten by mosquitoes, would be if he hopped out of the car on the way home and started eating a roadkill.
Oh my God!
What if Matt has it and he licked my open oozing sore?
If Matt has it, you got it.
I'm pretty sure that you'll agree with
Matt.
Me. He does not have yellow fever.
What is yellow fever is mosquito borne also.
Yellow fever occurs only in Africa and South America. However,
does it have anything to do with that Jell-O commercial?
It does not. Now, how do you pronounce C H I K chick? UN, Chikungunya. Thank you, Rob.
Mm.
Chikungunya.
I haven't heard of it.
Is a self-limiting condition due to a virus.
It's also found at most great Cajun restaurants.
It is a rare.
Ooh, that chikungunya.
We got this at the Center of Disease Control as well.
You put that on a bib there. Let me tell you, sir, that make your mouth sure water.
It is a rare viral fever that is caused by the bite of common mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm. Chikungunya.
But no fever, so I think I'm okay.
And then there was another one, too. How do you pronounce this one? Dengue.
Oh, dengue. Dengue fever. Dengue fever.
Dengue
fever. That's very dangerous.
Uh-huh. You can get that as well, also from mosquitoes.
And malaria.
Malaria?
Bird
anyway,
flu. All of these things that we looked up on Al Gore's internet have pictures that look just like your arms.
No pictures of me, though.
How about is Deek, D-E-E-K, goes? Deek goes? Is that on there? Well, the full name of it is... Deek goes in you.
Now, you're not taking this seriously.
No, I'm terribly sorry. I'm itchy over
here.
You
know, all I was doing when he was reading those was sitting over here trying to get... God, I hate our restrictions now because of the...
Yeah.
Trying to make a clean version that you can say on the radio.
Am I right or am I right? Am I right? Am I right?
Phil.
Do I know funny or am I right? Goes in you.
Deek.
Isn't that wild? I told you. Goes
hey, you gotta watch that mosquito-borne in you. The mosquito-borne illness known as Deek goes in you.
Oh, dear.
Okay.
Never felt better.
Look at those arms now, though. You've scratched them and raised them with alcohol.
Thank you.
Are your kids okay? They didn't get bitten to death down there?
You only got one or two.
How about Carrie?
I don't care.
I am more concerned with Matt, our intern.
Yeah. Matt?
He's vomiting right now. He's currently vomiting.
Sounded like Elvis. I am more concerned
with Matt, our intern. Matt, please come to the studio.
Should he put on headphones?
No need, Rob.
He should put on a surgical gown.
Matt, how you doing? How did that taste?
Disgusting.
Was there really a taste of the fork, really? Please. Was there an did it just taste like a plastic fork?
Well, I think a little bit of blood got on the end.
Oh!
Winner.
Nasty.
That is a winner.
That's a winner. I'm clean. He's fine.
Well, I should point out you alcoholed yourself only after Matt had done
it. That was not for him.
Yeah,
it should have been. That was for me.
Well, if you feel lightheaded or feverish, you know, call.
I'll be sure to let you know.
No, don't let me know. No, call a physician.
We don't know. All right.
Matt, exactly. Have they been through this with you? Have I been through this with you? What nationality are you?
We did that the first day he was here. And he's Polish.
Yeah, I know. I remember that he's a Polak, but.
I comment on the fact that he's not, you know, he doesn't look anything like a Polish guy.
I mean, I would ask you to step out of line, please, so that. So that I could, you know, use the metal detector on.
Right.
I mean, you really don't look Polish.
You know, no, we haven't much. Asked him what his last name is.
What is your last name, Matt?
Goldstein.
Goldstein?
Yeah.
Is it really Goldstein?
Yes.
We knew a Goldstein.
We did.
How about that?
Steve Goldstein.
Uh-huh.
No connection, right?
No relation.
Oh, my God.
Ain't that something?
Now what?
What's your religion?
Well, yeah.
The first two don't count.
Do you go to church on Saturday?
Not a bit.
Not a bit.
I don't.
You're not practicing.
Church for Jews.
Do you go to temple on Saturday?
I guess if I was practicing.
You're not a practicing Jewish person.
Practice makes perfect. Well,
you're not Orthodox.
Perfect. No.
All right, Matt.
Disciples may fool you.
Thanks for being in.
Thank you.
We'll see you later.
Well, thank you. Matt Goldstein.
Johnny.
He's not answering now. You notice he's not answering now.
Johnny. Ixnay, Uj.
You know the rules.
Can you hear me?
The rules.
Right.
Please. Boy, how did that?
Onay Uj.
How did that slip through the cracks?
Ease play.
My goodness.
For goodness sakes.
I know.
You knew.
Polish terrorist who looks like a Jew. Great.
It's a Polish Jew who looks like a terrorist.
Yeah, thank you.
There's young Matt.
Yeah, quite a struggle.
Oh, my. Hey, but he licked the arm. Got to give him some credit.
He's a good one. I hope that Matt is around long enough for some of the Jewish holidays.
Yes.
Would that be great? We can finally do some of our tributes.
With having one of ours, and we can still bring in Michael Hoffman.
I remember now the joke of the Polish Jew.
What is it?
He's a janitor, but he owns the building.
Rob Spiewak, ladies and gentlemen. Rob Spiewak and his little bug bites. There he is.
Anyway, Matt, well done.
Very good.
Well done, Matt the Jew.
I guess I'm kosher.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Well, you're 1/8 Jewish.
That's right.
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi there.
I was just on the phone with you about an hour ago, and you clicked me, unfortunately.
Yeah,
okay. Hi!
Sorry about clicking ye. Sorry we clicked you. Didn't mean to.
Clicked ye.
Howdy, Don and Mike Show.
What a horrible thing to say. That's not right.
We can't leave the driving
door. Yes, absolutely. Not fair.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. We don't know him to be dirty at all.
Right.
We just know that he's Jewish and he's Polish.
And he looks like a terrorist.
He looks like a terrorist.
Well spoken.
And as far as I can tell, yes, thank you, Buzz. We take out if he was black.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I can tell, he's a great intern because he's not complained about any of the crap we've asked him to do.
No, he hasn't.
He came right in. He licked Rob's open mosquito bites and then he licked the fork.
And whether Rob likes it or not, that cuts across all racial and religious lines.
Why can't we all get along?
That's right.
He goes right to the top of intern of the month.
Round of applause for young Matt.
Keep in mind, we've not had another intern for him to compete with.
No, usually they flee the building on the first day.
Mm-hmm. Hello there, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
I just thought I'd let you know they closed a school in Baltimore City today due to an outbreak of chiggers.
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 Yeah.
Skip your butt in.
Now, what are compare chiggers to like head lice? What's the are they the same kind of thing?
They burrow into your skin and they're really bad. Like, looks like you got bit, but they're bumps and they're nasty.
I told you when I was in that restaurant in Ocean City with Janet Wright, and I said something like, "Damn chiggers all over me." I was doing this thing, and then I realized head's turning because it sounds.
Yeah, you know, because you've got the insect like, wrong, right?
Sounds like another word.
You got what are called like no-see-ums, right, down at the beach that bite you?
I don't know,
you call them chiggers, called. And I think chiggers are like is like a really horrible bug.
What are chiggers, Rob? A chigger is of African origin, and it is a six-legged mite larva, family Trombiculiidae, that sucks the blood of vertebrates and causes intense irritation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so worse than the bug bites you have.
I used to get those. Yeah.
Although that's pretty intense.
But I think chiggers are mostly in the woods, aren't they?
Yeah, or in the Midwest on a mowed lawn. I used to get bites all the time.
Don and Mike Show, hello.
Hey there, boys.
Hey, sure, boy.
Sometimes, Buzz, when you look at me after you say that, it's like you're waiting for me to say something.
I am.
Well, on the mowed lawn, I would get bites. Were they chigger bites?
Yes, they were. They were definitely chigger bites.
We all picture a young teenage Buzz in his hard shoes.
Uh-huh. Huge, like, mop of like, hair that afro. You would see, like, in a huge afro, because that's the way
Buzz tie-dye shirt.
Right.
Bob Marley joints.
And those lawnmowers that he was waxing about the other day on the show.
Those are great.
Those goddamn mowers that don't have engines on them.
The rotary motors. Mm. The rotary mowers.
There's Lemon.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to leave my case on this fantasy football thing.
Again?
Oh, it's the same guy?
Same guy?
Same guy.
Okay, get ready for oblivion.
Bye!
Enjoy your six kids. You're not going to be in the fantasy league.
Do you think Joe blocked that call?
Well, what does that have to do with chiggers?
We'll never know.
I don't know. Well, they dumped that out. If you'll pardon the pun, they dumped that out.
What a shame.
Yeah.
What a shame that our listening audience couldn't enjoy that.
I don't know
what the Blue Devils have to do with it. The guy was obviously a fan of Duke.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about.
Duke
and Correctol.
Or maybe he was talking about the Duke.
Don't cuss.
There's the Duke right there.
John Wayne, also known as the Duke.
Right. You are a lot of trouble.
I know. Shut up, old man. We got to take a break.
Well, he's yours.
The Duke is yours?
Who was that?
Bend over.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. That's for Matt, right?
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
Perfect.
Yeah. You're fond of Max? Max. Matt, the intern?
Well, now that we got that cleared up.
Right, his name. His name is not Matt. His name is Matt.
We'd like to ask you some questions.
I'd like to ask you some questions.
Duke.
That's not strictly true.
What's that?
How do you feel about Matt?
No, I don't think we'd take too kindly to being arrested, mister.
Arrested? These are the wrong tapes, aren't they?
Very funny.
Yeah, I thought it was funny, Duke.
Are these the wrong tapes or the right tapes?
We don't need to waste no time speculating on his case or feeling sorry for him.
Young Duke.
I know. I don't know which ones are the funny ones.
Get on your horse.
Oh, medium Duke.
That might be the funny one.
Mm-hmm. Mormon Drover in New Mexico, eh?
Old Duke.
Not funny.
Seems to be the idea.
Well, that could be funny.
Medium Duke.
You ought to know something about these cases. You do, don't you?
Baby Duke.
Young Duke. Uh-huh. Wow, yeah.
I'm just ruminating for information.
Well, that's really young Duke.
Duke.
Yeah. I'll decide this one.
That's Rooster Cogburn Duke.
RCD.
If this is true, you have my sympathy.
Gotcha.
Medium Duke.
All right, Duke. Well, we got to break.
Maybe I'm not so inclined.
Told Duke. Tough ass.
Look, kid. The border's over yonder, just 60 miles. Why don't you light out? We'll join you.
Young
Promise
Duke.
You.
Very, very young Duke.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
Now, this is the way it's going to be.
Medium Duke.
I webbed you. That means you got the apartment.
Gay Duke. We're waiting.
We're
we out of Duke?
Right, hold on.
Don't you have something to do?
Yes, we do.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
All right, here we go. Last night's Greg House Show in 1 minute.
She said it wasn't her clothes. It was her medical record. Said she's sick and needs to go home. No home. I need to clean up their house.
Your patient's been waiting for hours.
She didn't book an appointment.
He really is going to leave.
I don't really care if Foreman stays or goes, but you're fired.
Why'd you fire Chase?
Did you fire him for me? Did you stay if I did?
Why'd you fire Chase?
What the hell's wrong with you? You fired Chase?
Did you give an angry Cuban my home number?
He has no pulse. She's
pocket.
Either our patient goes on bypass or I call time of death.
How do you fix something if you don't look at it?
He's not going to pull the plug on his wife. He risked his life to get her to me.
She seems like she's just sleeping.
She's not sleeping. We double checked.
That is her heart, no?
Holy crap. It's a miracle. How come God gets credit whenever something good happens? You see when her heart stopped.
You said there was no chance. No hope, which means...
Yes, I was wrong. My mistakes don't prove there's a God. Just one more surgery and we'll be fine. Don't make me slap you. I want you to stay. You're an important part of the team. I need you.
But I don't need you.
And I definitely don't want to be you.
Nice try.
Better be naked pictures.
My resignation letter.
They all quit.
Two of them quit. I fired the third.
What are you going to do?
God only knows.
The end.
The Don and Mike Show.
Over.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Right.
We'll never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Stinky McStinkface.
It's all right. Okay. He's an idiot.
You know.
Stand by for spontaneous mediocrity with Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
You know.
You let out.
Check out Rob Spiewak's herpetic arms.
DonandMikeWebsite.com.
Go to the photo gallery.
They're hideous. They're heinous.
And they are covered with bumps. And Matt's licking them, and he's got the fork in his mouth.
Right.
It's good and gross. We were talking about Greg House during the commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I rather liked the ending to House last night. I can't believe that they're really going to let all three of those stars go, but I thought if those three people leave, bring in three new ones.
Yeah. You think that's what they're going to do?
No, I really don't. I can't believe they're going to get rid of all three of those guys.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
For my money, they could get rid of the wispy British guy.
Agreed.
Yeah.
They could get rid of his love interest, too. I think you keep the...
The chicky poo?
Yeah, I don't like her.
She's kind of cute.
I think she's a one-trick pony.
Yeah, good trick, though.
I like her. And who's the brother? What's his name? Omar Epps?
Uh-huh.
Is that the guy?
I think he'll come back.
Well, he's got a thing for House anyway. I mean, not a thing.
Well, they all do.
Now, that could be... Well, they're going to keep the hospital administrator, who we interviewed last week.
Right.
And they're going to keep his buddy,
Wilson.
Right. Is that his name, Wilson?
Yeah. Mr. Yeah. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson!
Yeah, it was a good one last night, I thought. And
I kept, wouldn't go crazy about it.
I kept waiting at the very end for them to rescind the firing of the British guy. I kind of like that. He just fired him.
You're still fired.
Still fired.
I'm still gone.
So anyway.
Very sarcastic. I really wish he wouldn't go. There, I tried to keep him.
You did or did not like it, though, when we were talking. Hold on, I'm talking to Mike now.
He's not here.
Okay. Did Mike like it or not?
Mike quit. He's not here. He doesn't want anything to do with Greg
House. What's going on?
Hey.
Hi, I'm Greg House.
You know, it's an easier impression for me to do if I hold my nose, like so many of them are. And all you have to do is just do this and just talk more American than a British guy would. Oh, you quit. My heart's broken.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
It's a damn better impression when I hold my nose.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I heard you guys talking about jiggers earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I just...
Do delete that out.
Screw you, pal.
We get N-word jokes.
Yep.
Okay.
Not funny.
No.
He's sorry. He doesn't know why he did that, Bernard.
See, I think we've really made progress, don't you? Bernard.
He did a bad thing.
Did a bad thing.
Here's something that, that didn't make the news, and I'm amazed. Who watches 60 Minutes? Not that many people anymore.
Yeah.
This past week, Andy Rooney did an entire segment about the penis.
Really?
And he used a very disgusting word for it. We had to beep the word out.
For sure.
I think it's an ugly word, the word that he used.
Really? I didn't see this particular one.
I find the word to be vile. I would never use it, Mike.
Really?
The word.
Fascinating.
And I've never heard you say the word either.
Okay.
It is similar to something that a rooster says.
Oh, that's horrible. No, I would never. I know
isn't
the
that
word.
An ugly word.
I know the word you're speaking of, and neither you nor I would ever use that.
Well, for some reason, it was all over 60 Minutes, so we had to beep it out. Anyway, here's Andy Rooney.
Ever wonder what makes Andy happy?
We're so used to having our all around us that we don't think of it. But are one of the greatest inventions of all time, certainly ahead of the elastic band and the safety pin. The New York Antiquarian Fair is the best fair in the world, and we went and looked at a lot of old there. Just having a is as much a pleasure as having a picture on the wall. There were booksellers here from France, Germany, even California. Good old books aren't cheap.
Well, 52,500, but we'll deal to
you. You let it go for
right.
52.
We'll let it go for.
See, what he's doing right here, they're not looking at a penis. Mm-hmm.
They're selling them.
They're trying to decide the price of the penis.
Right.
Except they're using an ugly, vulgar word.
It's just not. It's not a word that should be on 60 Minutes.
52, right.
Dealers aren't like used car salesmen. I think they like their better than the money. Unlike most people with something to sell, you don't get the feeling that they're anxious to get rid of their. It's easy to get thinking that the world's going to hell sometimes, but there are a few things that provide hope that our civilization will endure. New York Fair is one of them.
I'm Bob Simon. We'll be back next week with...
Wow.
And the whole time there's a big picture of a penis behind it.
For his own.
They would have called... I would think you could get away with calling it the New York Penis Fair.
Yeah.
But they called it the New York...
Well, they have to use the slang, and it's just a nasty word.
Right,
and that's just not right. But Andy seemed to be very excited about it. More excited than he normally gets. And, my God, he's 85.
Sure.
Incredible.
All right. Lindsay Lohan. She's in rehab.
Chocolate cake.
That's what they all do now. They go to rehab. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be there.
Didn't she just get out of rehab?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, Mike, she says she's serious this time.
Oh, good.
Okay, before she was kidding. Right. Now she's serious.
Well, the cops chasing you down to the hospital and arresting you in the hospital will do that to you.
Also, it's like, blah, 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 blah. Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. Please leave me alone. So,
you know, what's weird, though, is, you know, all this is happening. It is almost one fact is hard to forget is that she hasn't even reached 21 yet.
Yeah.
She's like she was days away. Was she days away from her 21st birthday?
I saw something on TV where they were saying that they should really be going after the bar owners who are serving her all of the clubs where she shows up for parties.
I agree with that.
Because she's not old enough.
I think really they shouldn't do. I mean, we have to obey the law in Virginia. They should do it in California.
For instance, I'll tell you what makes me go on the other side of that argument. Mm-hmm. There's that the picture for the St. Louis Cardinals that just died of a DUI.
Right.
Turns out when he was leaving the bar by the stadium, he was like double the legal limit, didn't have his seatbelt on, was talking on his cell phone, had some weed, ran into the back of a tow truck and killed himself. Mm. And they in Major League Baseball, they then banned beer in the clubhouse.
Right.
Like that's really going to help.
Yeah.
And I saw...
That was heavy-handed, I thought.
The poor guy's father, and I say poor because I feel sorry for this man. He's lost his son. He's suing the bar. The father of the baseball player is suing the bar and the bar owner. Hold on a second. Your son, who was a grown man in the major leagues, went to a bar where all the Cardinals go. The bar, I believe, is owned by maybe a former Cardinal ball player.
Mm-hmm.
I know that at a time when you lose someone, trust me, I know this, you want to just reach out and be angry at somebody, but we can't solve everything by suing.
No, you can't.
I mean, do you understand the point I'm making?
Yeah,
I
understand that there are laws in every state that you're not supposed to serve a person if they're obviously intoxicated. The problem you get into is you can have a guy like this that drank what he drank. And he might be sitting there having a conversation with you, and you can't, visibly tell what he's doing. Perfectly normal.
Now, see, I broke that rule in Atlantic City, though, according to Carla, that I was visibly, but I wasn't driving anywhere. Thank God.
Now, remember, you fooled Janet, though.
Yes.
You were S-faced, and Janet thought that you were just happy and go lucky and just normal Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, I did fool her, and it's you never know. But I mean, there are many people that you can sit there and you don't really know what's going on. In the case of Lindsay Lohan. And the reason I think it's different is I was reading the fact that she's at this bar with her friends that were DJing, and they let her stay at the bar after hours. Every state, every municipality, excuse me, has different laws, and they don't, you don't know what it's like. But it just seems to me, if she's 21, it's a different story. She's legal.
Right.
You know, that is such a big deal, at least, where we do it. That's so huge. That's the holy grail of, you know, and everybody knows her age. You know, the owners know her age, and it's because she, you know what it is? It's because she's a celebrity.
That's right.
Okay, your average 20-year-old out on their ass. They're not getting in the bar. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Unless they got the good ideas, Mike.
Ah, no, the good ideas. They're you know, most people that know what they're doing can even tell the good ideas.
Let me see. Britney Spears on her website today. It's a rambling message about Lindsay Lohan and about Britney Spears. Recently, I was sent to a very humbling place called rehab. I truly hit rock bottom. This is coming now from Britney Spears.
Is this Britney's letter to Lindsay?
Yes. Till that day, I didn't think it was alcohol or depression. I was like a bad kid. Lindsay, you can help other people. Other people love you. Blah, 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 blah. And then right below that, on the search page when I was on the Whitney, they all get mixed up, Whitney and Britney.
Well, I heard Whitney's had a relapse, too. That Whitney, even without Bobby Brown, and Whitney's all whacked out at some function as well.
So after Britney Spears put this on her blog, her open letter to Lindsay Lohan, the next item when I searched Britney Spears today, as I always do, came up that Britney Spears was anything but okay Sunday night at a place in Los Angeles called the Sky Bar. She ended up being carried out of the place covered in her own vomit. She was found slumped over the toilet bowl with makeup over her face and her wig was hanging off. She was a real mess. It was sitting on the floor throwing up.
Oh.
There was vomit down the front of her black dress and around her mouth.
Nasty.
Where did I see this? Oh, I was on the computer today. On our website. At DonnaMikeWebsite.com, I don't think someone has it in the Photoshop section. I think it's as their SIG picture. I'm not sure, but it's maybe the greatest Photoshop that I've seen in a long time. It's Private Pyle from Full Metal Jacket when he's sitting in the toilet and he's got the rifle. He's sitting in the commode by the urinal, right. And they have Photoshopped her shaved head on top of Private Pyle's body from Full Metal Jacket. I don't know where it is.
My God.
Hey, John, could you find that on our website?
I will see what I can do.
Oh, my God.
It is there somewhere. I'm not sure if it's in the Photoshop or what.
That shaved head version of Britney when she shaved her hair off, that gave the Photoshoppers a chance to do a lot of fun things.
So the story is that so she writes the thing to Lindsay Lohan.
And she's still totally effed up herself.
Covered in vomit. And then I found this picture. Man, it's a better picture than Jamie Presley when she was pregnant.
Really?
And she had the big milk boobies. Now, you know that Selma Hayek has major boobs.
Incredible body,
To begin with, yeah.
Selma Hayek is about 5 months pregnant. We'll put this on our website today for all you guys in the Beach Towel Club. All you guys in the Milk Beach Towel Club. Take a look, Mike. My God. How great are those boobs? Selma Hayek. Pregnant? Uh-huh. Christ, that makes me hot. I swear to God, it does.
I know it does.
It does.
I know it does.
It does. And again, like I've explained to you now so you are not grossed out, it's not that I want to...
You can explain all day long.
It is not that I want
It's definitely your kink.
I do not want to have intercourse with Selma Hayek while she's pregnant.
You just appreciate her topside.
I want her...
That's what you like.
I want her to take care of me...
I know.
...while she does not have a shirt on.
And you know what? It's not... In this particular photograph, it is not nearly as... you know, most of the photos you point out, like, because I'm going back now. I don't want to say I'm coming over to your side 100% because I really don't want to say that. But, like, the Jamie Presley... And then we had the discussion about Lisbeth Hasselbeck, who was really looking strong on The View... And now this one, he took it that one step further.
Sure he did.
There we go.
That's where I would draw the line.
Yeah, I can tell the way you enthusiastically said that.
Good for you.
I'm trying to read what her T-shirt says.
That might ruin the moment for me.
It could.
It says stylish, sexy,
uh-huh.
And then something else, and I can't read it. The boob just jets out.
It says shoot here.
God, you.
Like in a ballpark. Hit the home run here, and everybody gets a free hot dog tonight at Miller Stadium.
She's a beautiful, healthy, pregnant woman.
Yes.
Goddamn right.
There she is.
Very healthy.
Hey, John, you find that Photoshop thing?
I did.
Where is it at? What section?
It's in the Photoshop section under Britney Spears Photoshop Masterpieces.
Okay, hold on. Let me see how fast I can pull that up. Britney Spears.
Oh, there it is.
On a
first post.
Excuse me, on Private Pyle's body.
There is a lot of funny stuff on our website.
Sure.
God's sakes.
The Photoshop section of our website is worth the visit. Is worth the visit in and of itself. It's fantastic.
Photo, message board. What's going on back there?
What the hell is going on? You guys had a little party back there?
The pictures.
Oh, they're looking at the pictures right now.
Here we go. My Photoshop.
You got it? Can I come over?
Come on over. I got it. Here we go. Matt the intern. Buzz loves C. O'Mara, if you're ready. Don's foot. Oh, here it is. Britney Spears Photoshop masterpieces. Whoever did this one, I laughed my ass off this morning looking at this. Hold on. That one's not too good.
Click the fifth, sixth.
That one's not too good. I know, I'm working down to it. That one's not too good.
That's pretty funny, though.
That one's not too good.
Funny, right? The FU one is pretty
hold on. Wait till you get to the private pile one. Right. Wait for it.
Now,
is that a great Photoshop?
With that face, with her face. Oh, that's fantastic.
That is so goddamn funny.
She had her head shaved and she made all those expressions.
Got to give a holla. Here's a holla. This is some guy named Nizzle One.
Nizzle One, you did a great job.
Nizzle One, that is a great Photoshop on our website.
Because she's got, it's not just the shaved head, but it's that expression that when she was mad at the paparazzi, because she's going, I'm so mad at you.
So good.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So good.
So good.
Got a break. What was the biggest news yesterday in the world? Of course, the passing of Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah. What a man.
Our continuous coverage.
And a surprise that you might not be aware of
after this.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did Gilbert really sniff you?
I swear he didn't sniff me.
Isn't that a little spooky
maybe,
to be sniffed by Gilbert?
Maybe he sniffed me unbeknownst to me when he kept repeatedly dropping his pencil and asking me to pick it up.
Gelman's got more on his mind than the smell here.
The smell, smell of Kelly.
I'm asexual.
Smelly ripper.
Yeah.
Living in a scratch and dent world, Don and Mike.
Stinky McStink face.
She wasn't so hot, that might almost be funny.
What about the vagina?
There's Smelly Ripper.
Smelly Ripper.
Ah, never mind.
Never mind.
Over the weekend, Charles Nelson Reilly passed away.
Yeah.
And here to eulogize him now, and a Don and Mike Show exclusive, is his...
No, what? No.
Is he your brother? Is he your...
Look. First of all, he's a cousin.
Bill O'Reilly.
But, Don.
Bill Reilly.
Don.
Bill Nelson Reilly.
Don.
Bill.
Don.
Bill.
Don.
Bill.
Don, I want to tell you something. You're going to come in here, you're going to say, I'm going to do a eulogy. First of all, you're mischaracterizing exactly why... I'm here to be on the show. I'll talk about Charlie O'Reilly, but I don't want to I don't want to make it the whole segment. What I did, I thought I'd come by. I talked to your producers. I said what I'm going to do. I'm going to come on Geronimo's show. I'm going to walk into the studio. I'm going to bring him a copy of Culture Warrior. I'm going to hand it to him. We're going to do a little chit chat. We're going to get out of here. That's all it is. Yesterday, the day before, we lost somebody who happens to be a member of my family. Didn't use the same name. Took the O off. Called himself Charles Nelson Reilly. Mm-hmm. And his name was, Charlie O'Reilly. We knew him growing up as Charlie O'Reilly.
Charlie Nelly O'Reilly.
Yeah, the Nelson Don was thrown in, for Hollywood. I never knew a Nelson. I never knew a Charles Nelson. I knew him as Charlie O'Reilly. He was a cousin. We'd go up to his dad's farm, and we'd play in the fields, and that's it. And I'm a little concerned because anytime you got a family member who passes, it's not a good thing. It's
so
not
he was
a
your
thing.
Cousin. He was your cousin, Charles.
Yeah,
Nelson
he's a distant
Reilly.
Cousin. Distant cousin played with me. We went to the swimming hole. Up at the O'Reilly Farm, upstate New York.
Define played with you.
Now, Don, I know what you're doing there. You're gonna make it nasty. You're gonna make it like hip hop lyrics. Huh. You're gonna turn it around and make it something where did he touch you? I'm not gonna play that game with you, Don, because I know it's exactly what you're all about. And that's not the way I'm gonna do it. And if you're gonna mind your P's and Q's and you're gonna pay attention to your Don Imuses, Don. You better be careful with that kind of stuff, because I tell you, I'm going to throw you right off my set.
I just received an email from Ludacris.
Yeah, Ludacris. Can I say a few words about that?
He says your brother was a faggot.
Oh, now see, that's the kind of labeling, you know, that you do, the SPs, you secular progressives. You want to label people. You're wacko. You're way out on the left. You're on the left along with your newsman, your pinko newsman, you know, your Sheehan supporting newsman over here. Yeah, and I'm fed up with all of you. In fact, I'm fed up with the whole thing. I'm a simple kid from Long Island. I grew up. I scrapped for everything I got. I did it. I'm me. I'm great. I'm fantastic.
What about this photo?
Yeah.
What about this photo of these?
Where'd you
two,
get that?
These two young boys.
Oh, now hold on a second. Okay, all right. I'll play a game. This isn't TV. I want to point out that we'll have a few words about Charlie Riley. Charlie O'Reilly. He took the O off on the factor tonight.
Your cousin.
We'll talk about that, Don. That's exactly what we're going to do. We'll have a little tribute to him. Frankly, when I think about him, he's a good cousin. He's a fun kid. You know, he's a little older than I was, and we had a good time up at the farm, and it was chokes me up a little bit to think about him, because it's sad that he felt the need to go out there and do shows like the Match Game that really didn't have any substance. And, take the O off his name and turn himself into Charles Nelson Riley when he could have been Charlie O'Reilly. I thought Charlie O'Reilly was a wonderful, a wonderful name for showbiz. It certainly has worked well for me. You know, we got the highest rated show on cable.
The picture I'm going to show you.
All right.
I'm going to just put my hand over part of it. Is this you as a young boy? Is that you as a young boy, yes or no?
No. Yeah. Yeah, that's me.
You're wearing overalls?
Yeah, overalls, no shirt.
No shirt.
So I think a piece of barley or wheat in my mouth. That's,
what is that coming out of the front of your overalls?
Oh Jesus. You're not supposed to have that picture.
Now look at the other side of the picture.
It's Charlie O'Reilly. Or Charles Nelson Riley. And Charles Nelson Riley appears to not have pants on.
What are you doing?
Well, I think we were washing. Let me explain. All right, now you're going to make it dirty. You're going to make it nasty. And I'm going to tell you what we did. We're a bunch of kids. We're in our teens. We're up there. We're, having a growth experience up in the woods. And, Charles was the older kid, and we looked up to him. And Charlie O'Reilly would say, let's go down to the swimming hole. We had a spare tire, that we hooked up to a rope. And occasionally some of the kids would, do the thing where they'd take their clothes off. It'd be a hot summer day. And it was skinny dipping. It's what you would call skinny dipping. It's not a big deal. And I don't understand why you're making it into some sort of homoerotic pornography.
He appears to be about 20, and you appear
he's
to be...
He's hugging me, Don, because he's my cousin. And he's showing affection, which can be shown between a man and a woman, and a man and a man. If they're related, they can show each other affection without it having to be dirty, like Ludacris and all the hip-hop artists that, your secular, whacked-out, way-out, lefty-lefto.
Let's take a moment, please. And remember,
man, you're really steaming me right now. You know, it's a cousin. He gave me a hug. Sure, he didn't have his pants on. All right, I'll paint the whole story for you, Don. Since you want to make it ugly, I'm telling you what happened. We went up to the O'Reilly farm. Charlie O'Reilly, who changed his name to Charles Nelson Riley, who went out to Hollywood. Was alleged to be gay, and then one thing led to another. And then what we did was we go up to the O'Reilly farm. We get occasionally some of the guys would get hot. We'd be running around in the field. We'd have chores to do, and we'd go skinny dipping. I was not skinny dipping. If you notice, Don, I'm wearing overalls there. I got overalls on in that picture, and yet you don't see me naked. You see Charlie O'Reilly, or Charles Nelson Riley, as he was known. You see him without pants on. That could have been doctored, too, that photo. They do lots of things on the Internet right now. Now, that's another photo that you're putting up. All right, there's a game we used to play on the O'Reilly farm. We used to play Pin the Tail on the Donkey. And what it was we used real pins, and it wouldn't be, it wouldn't be a picture. It would be one of us would play the role of the donkey. Ooh. And I'm playing the role of the donkey. I'm on all fours, and Charlie's trying to pin the tail on me. And I don't know what that picture says. That looks like something totally different. That's not what I remember. And, that's a lie. You got a lie photograph that's been doctored, because it's not what it appears to be. It appears to be a man attempting to have some kind of relations with a man, and that's just not accurate.
Let's hear a moment of your cousin.
We also played White Rain.
Here's your cousin.
All right, Charles.
Then she was revived and blushed again.
I don't even know what a swinger is, so I can't explain it.
First of all, Hooker was named after General Hooker. I'll explain all that after the program. It's true. It's named after General Hooker. And I don't know what swinger is, but 30 years ago they were called, and I hope it's not hyphenated, a pushover.
Are you crying, Bill?
No, I'm not crying, Don. I mean, you know, just a little emotion. Charlie O'Reilly, the fact that he had to go out to Hollywood and change his name. Fact is, you know, some of our family fathers, the elders in our family, in the O'Reilly family, didn't like him prancing around with his ascots out there and his both bright-colored shirts and calling himself Charlie O'Reilly. That's the real truth, and that's now you know the truth. He will be missed, though.
What about this photo from the family album?
Now, that's not a real photograph. That looks like some kind of cartoon. That appears to be me standing next to Charlie O'Reilly. I'm shaking his hand, I think, Don. I'm shaking his hand vigorously.
Not his hand.
Was I doing that?
Yeah, and it appears to be raining.
Cousin Charlie introduced me to the late Paul Lynn. When I was out in the L.A. You know,
so you know all the great queens of L.A.
Yeah, they're nice guys. They're funny guys. You know, they did they made their hay in the game shows. Yeah, that's what they'd be all about. They like their game shows. But that particular photo you're showing, I think, is a fake. It's a black and white photo. Bill, you really can't prove that I was shaking that thing that I was shaking right
Bill,
there.
What about the many conversations we've had off the air?
Yeah.
Where you've told me that... I'll just say it.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm in the hot seat. I know when I come on your show that you're in control and I can feel anything you got. Give me your best shot, Don. I'm over here waiting for your best shot. You want to give me your best shot? I'll stand by. Give me your best shot right now.
You're humble.
I'll answer anything you got. I'll answer it honestly, and I'll tell you the straight skinny. I'll give it to you with no spin, and I'll give you a copy of autographed copy of Culture Warrior for Dad's Day because I know you're a good father.
You are homophobic. And I do believe that you are blocking out the fact that your brother or your cousin, Charles Nelson Reilly...
He's my cousin, Charlie O'Reilly.
...was gay.
If you want to put labels on him, Don, that's fine. Put all your labels you want. The fact is, I'm flying out for the funeral. I'm going to be staying at Bruce Valanche's house, who's been nice enough to put me up at his house. We're going to have a very nice time out there on the David Geffen estate. And it should be a good time and memories of Charlie O'Reilly.
This is what I need to know.
Yeah.
You are such a homophobe. You're going to go out.
And it's a label, Don. Yeah, those are your words, not mine. I'm not a homophobe. What I am is a patriot. As a matter of fact, what I am is a super patriot. I'm a self-made man. I'm a ballsy guy. I'm a guy that takes on the big guys. I don't let them get away with their crap. And you're calling me a homophobe, and I'm not going to let you do that, Don. What I'm going to do is I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to say I'm not a homophobe. I just don't like people that wear the flamboyant shirts. That's what bothers me. And, walks around. If you got a guy, Don, who's wearing makeup, eye makeup, and spraying regular women's perfume, I'm gonna walk up to him in a mall, and I'm going to say, I don't think that's right. I think I'm going to knock you right on your ass.
So would you say that to your cousin, Charlie?
I wouldn't say it to Charlie because there's a rule, Don, in the O'Reilly family, live and let live. We let each other live. They put up with Charlie O'Reilly and all of his little idiosyncrasies, and they put up with my lies. I tended to lie early and often when I was a kid. What I'd say is, for example, if I was, if I made the football team, I'd come home and I'd say, I'm the starting quarterback on the football team. And then, my one of my brothers would say to me, Bill, you're not the starting quarterback, you're just on the team. I said, that's a lie, and everybody know I was lying, but they put up with it, and that's what it was, and that's what we did.
Hey, Bill.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Again from the O'Reilly.
Give me your best shot, Don. I'm standing by. You haven't knocked me off my block yet.
From the O'Reilly family album.
Yeah.
What about this one? Now, are you kissing your cousin Charlie there?
Yeah.
On the mouth?
On the mouth. Full on the mouth. That's a tradition we had in the O'Reilly family. Everybody snicker and make your jokes. Make your little jokes and your silly, silly, ridiculous jokes that have no basis in reality. I'm going to tell you exactly how it would work, okay? We go up to the family farm. Charlie O'Reilly, who changed his name to Charles Nelson Reilly, and Bill O'Reilly, and all the other O'Reilly boys, and anytime you'd see a cousin you hadn't seen in a year, sometimes up to a year or 2 years, we'd kiss full on the mouth. And we did that because we're real men, Don. You know, some of us had served in combat, myself not included, but we really, we'd greet each other enthusiastically, and it would involve a hug and a kiss on the lips.
All right, so you're not
no tongue. There was never any. I defy you, that picture, that might have been doctored anyway. I defy you to show where my mouth is open and I'm putting my tongue in Charles Nelson Reilly's mouth. It's not happening.
So you're not homophobic.
I'm not homophobic. I don't like labels.
How do you feel about...
I spent some time last fall mentoring Lance Bass.
What?
Yeah, these are the things you don't know, Rob. You know, you want to get all the poison out there. You want to spew all the lies. You want to, you know, you want to be there with the left-wing wackos and let all that other crap out there. But the fact is, I've spent a lot of time mentoring some very famous gay people. It's the truth, Don. I know you're speechless. I know you're speechless, but the fact Lance Bass came to me and said, listen, O'Reilly, you're a tough guy. You're a fantastic guy. You stand up for the little guy, and I respect you. And, you know, you're a great American. You should run for president. I said, can't do it right now. I've got to do my job. You know, got to take care of America the way I see it ought to be taken care of.
Do you think Lance Bass is handsome?
I think he's a good-looking guy. I think that, you know, he's got some issues that he's got to deal with, but I'm not going to lay a label on the guy.
Let's just play a theoretical game.
You know, there are a lot of men that I think that don't get their due. You know, as far as Hollywood is concerned, and I work in the news business.
Name another one, please.
As far as somebody that I've mentored or somebody that I find, is a good-looking guy.
Somebody you find attractive.
Well, lots of guys. You get your standards. You get your Clooney, your Pitt. You know, I watch some of their films.
Okay, in theory.
I watched this little film called Babel.
Who would you
and,
do?
And I enjoyed it.
Who would you do, Clooney or Pitt?
Neither.
If you had to do one, who would you do?
Well, there's one that's on my mind now in particular that I find real attractive, and he's on that reality show, that American Idol, Sanjaya. I think Sanjaya Malakar is probably one of the best-looking young kids I've seen in quite some time. He's a good-looking kid, and I like the host of that show there, Seacrest. He's a good-looking kid, too. I like little guys. You know, I'm a tall guy. I'm a big guy. I'm over 6'3", and, I like little guys. I think that's a good little balance, and I think that, little guys have to try a little harder, and I respect that. And that's what I like about Sanjaya and Ryan Seacrest and, a lot of other guys that have been. I like that kid that did the beatboxing. You know, Blake Lewis.
Blake Lewis.
And I like his father, Dallas Lewis, too. I'm fond of him. I truly am.
You ever get in sword fights with your cousin, Charlie?
You're talking about when we'd, whip it out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we did that up on the O'Reilly farm. Uh-huh. We'd actually, we called it watering the wheat. We'd water the wheat. Get up 5 o'clock in the morning, do your chores, go down to the fishing hole, and Charlie O'Reilly would lead us in a big game of watering the wheat.
Here's a challenge for you. Bill O'Reilly.
I like soft, feminine features on a man and also small hands.
60 seconds right here on the tape.
60 seconds. Give me your best shot, Don, because I know what you're trying to do and you're not doing it.
I'm challenging you.
You challenge. I'm up to any challenge
you're a homophobe.
You've got.
I want you to tell
any
me.
Any challenge you got, you
I
bring it right
you,
here because I'm a great American guy.
I want you to tell me about the life of your cousin, Charles Nelson Reilly, without throwing in any gay slurs, without letting any of your homophobia come out. Talk for 60 seconds about the life of your cousin, Charles Nelson Reilly.
Charlie O'Reilly, fantastic guy. You might know him as Charles Nelson Reilly, one of the legendary TV personalities of the 70s. Great guy. Made his way out to Hollywood from New York, where he lived with us for a short time up in upstate New York. Charlie O'Reilly, most famously known for his work on The Match Game with Gene Rayburn, where he's one of the funniest panelists that I've ever seen on a game show. He also did a stint on a little show you might have remembered with Hope Lang back in the late 60s, early 70s, known as The Ghost and Mrs. Noor, which I thought was a fabulous thing. And, we all tried to ignore the fact that Charlie had some habits that, might not have been my cup of tea, but he still was a good guy, and we're all proud of him. I only wish that he'd kept the name O'Reilly as opposed to Charles Nelson Reilly, and I think I speak for everybody in the O'Reilly family when I say this is Bill O'Reilly, saying Godspeed, Charles Nelson Reilly, and we're going to look the other way at your funeral and not pay attention to the fact that you're a queen.
Oh,
almost
made it. I made it. I did. I made it in the deadline, Don.
No, you didn't.
That wasn't 60 seconds. That was 62 seconds. You started it late.
You got caught.
You lied. You didn't do it. I succeeded. Listen, I got a copy of Culture Warrior for you. I want everybody to enjoy that. And, I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. And what I'm doing is protecting America from the freedom attackers that are going to tear down our society and rip it apart at the foundation, okay? This country built on a Judeo-Christian ethic that people have to realize, Don, we're ripping it apart at the seams. But you know something? I'm going to put on my knight in shining armor outfit right out of my white horse and defend it. And that's why I've written the book Culture Warrior. Great for dads. I'll give it to you right now.
All right. Well,
safe home, Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
We'll miss it. We'll miss your cousin.
Yeah. I'll miss him too. We got to see each other once every couple of years. Once he moved out to L.A. Mm-hmm. And it was always fun to reminisce about the times. A lot of firsts for me. and Charlie O'Reilly.
Yeah.
A lot of big time firsts.
He broke in, huh?
In a manner of speaking, yeah. He taught me a lot of stuff that I didn't know. As a greenhorn kid from Long Island, I was up in the woods. And Charlie told me a lot about the things that I wouldn't know.
Like the nape of a man's neck?
No, he basically told me about the, you know, my stuff.
Oh, your genitals.
But yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about that, Charlie would lecture all the kids, and he'd show us, you know, what went where. And, you know, to make a long story short, he told us what felt good.
Wow.
That's
but,
it.
But if he was...
I don't want to talk about this anymore.
But if he was gay, wouldn't he be telling you homosexual techniques?
Don, I've come into your house. I've dealt with your questions. I've answered all your questions as far as the ones that you have for me. And, you know, I told you he was a guy that liked to tell us what felt good. And, you know, if you can show me on on our parts that there's any difference between what feels good on a gay man and what feels good on a straight man, then you can make an argument, all right? Wow. He helped me over.
What? He helped you what?
He,
it breaks him up.
He helped me overcome my gag reflex.
Really?
Yeah. We did it with popsicles, okay?
Why, you're always
popsicles, Rob.
Yeah,
it was popsicles. My favorite was grape.
Sure.
Billy O'Reilly always wanted the grape one before we go down to the swimming hole.
Did you like the creamsicle?
I like the orange creamsicles.
Cream in the middle.
I like strawberry shortcake also. Okay. I like not only the ice cream, but I like the decor, you know, when I had my room decorated like that.
Strawberry
shortcake. Only a short period of time. Fine. Snicker, if you will.
Okay.
That's the way we grew up in the O'Reilly family. We're stand-up guys. And now, who's looking out for you? It's me. Yours truly. Okay. Defender of the faith. Defender of America. Alleluia. Amen. Mary of Magdalene.
What Mary?
All right, I'm rambling.
What does she have to do with this?
Nah, you know, I'm a good Catholic. I just wanted to point that out to everybody, okay? He taught me the value of being numb.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, but, yeah, you know, because occasionally when you're up there in the woods and you're sleeping out and you're in a sleeping bag, your hand gets numb.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand falls asleep.
Right.
It's that prickly feeling. Because
mm-hmm.
Charlie O'Reilly always would insist that we kept it in one spot. Those were mosquito bites, just like your producer guy. All right?
He's not a producer anymore.
Oh, he got fired again?
Yeah.
Who's looking out for you, Rob Spiewak? Copy a culture warrior for you and yours. I'll give you a coffee mug. I'll throw that in, too.
Thanks, nice. Bill.
All right? Stop beating your wife.
Okay.
Bill O'Reilly, got to go. Listen, I got to do my factor on TV tonight. We're going to be talking about all those great things we talked about.
Still doing that radio show no one listens to?
Sure. Yeah, doing real well. Got a nice swell deal down in Washington, D.C. And I got a great after-in. They call them lead-ins before. I got a great show comes after me.
Oh.
You guys.
Yeah,
I thought I'd throw you a bone there, Don. All right? You're better than Phil Donahue. You're not as mean as he is. Appreciate that. I like talking gay with you. Listen, anytime you want to, you know, sit around a campfire, talk
gay,
we can talk about gay. I'm pretty up on gay issues and all other issues,
too. What did you do to the guy who used to be the president of the company to make sure that your show got cleared on all those CBS stations?
Several late dinners. And, you know, a couple of tours of my Manhattan apartment. And the deal was done. I said, Joel, would you like to see my etchings? And he came back and said, you know, no problema.
Hmm.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
Yep.
See if they boot me off, Don. See if they boot me off. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. I'm like a fungus, and I'm protecting America.
Did you ever kiss former CBS president Joel Hollander on the lips?
I'd like to plead the fifth on the grounds that it might turn me on.
Oh.
I'm kidding you, Donnie. You know what I'm doing. I'm just kidding you. Make all your gay jokes, you know. But really, seriously, fond farewell to my cousin Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
Yeah. All right.
Good guy.
Cousin Charlie.
Real good guy. Hell of a lot better than Ludacris and his crappy lyrics about exploiting women and destroying the fabric of our country.
Okay.
It's just not right.
Give it a rest, dude.
I'm pissed off. Always am, always will be. Yeah. I got to go to mass.
How's that phone sex thing working out for
you? Pretty good. Enjoying myself, you know. Just doing it in the office, not at home.
Good.
Not at home anymore. Wife got uptight about that. So I do it in the office. Got the bills down to about $1,500 a month.
Nice.
Working out real well.
Nice.
I got a nice new lady. Her name's Cherry.
Cherry?
Cherry.
Huh.
Cherry. Yeah. Cherry. That's her name. I don't know why she uses it. She can tie one of them stems, you know, right down.
With her tongue?
Perfect knot.
I've seen that.
It's over the phone. She's giving me the business. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Whatever. That evidence. Doesn't matter. And check out my MySpace page if you're under 25.
Oh.
Bill O'Reilly, who's looking out for you?
Hey, Bill.
You'll see, and if you want to get deeper into it, you go to a special site, www.likerealbill.com. You'll see me in my private areas.
Wow. Wow.
Thanks so much.
We'll break out. We'll miss forever your cousin, Charles Nelson O'Reilly.
Safe home. Godspeed. He's sitting up there judging all of us right now from that Magic Square.
Hmm.
Is that the show he was on?
No.
The Magic Square.
Yeah, whatever, the Match Game seat.
Match Game.
Match Game, yeah. He's up there playing Match Game up there with Gene Rayburn and all the other people who died.
Top right.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that, Mosquito Bites. Y'all take care.
All right, thank you, Bill.
Check out my nude MySpace page.
Yeah, we will.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
For the record, I was sexually attracted to you. Now, not so much.
That was great.
Hello.
Oh, there it is.
You know their act. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, right. You know the act.
You know.
If it's human ways, save some for me.
How about you, Larry?
What do you do with an elderly woman? Ah, what glorious food.
Oh, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Okay, everybody.
Jenny Craig.
Let me see.
The worst, I just found a blog that has 10 of the worst names ever.
Like proper names?
Real names. We checked them out against the online phone book, Anywho.
I hope one of them isn't Horatio.
Anywho.com. There's a guy named John Kaufman from Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
John Kaufman?
His nickname is Jack.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay.
All right.
I understand.
Careful. I'm going to be careful with
We're
this.
Caught up. You're dancing.
There is a woman in St. Louis. Her name is, now it looks like it's Sharonda.
Sharonda?
If it was pronounced Sharonda, it would be okay.
All right.
Okay.
Her name is pronounced Sharonda. And her last name is Cox.
I'm not going to repeat any of these.
Thanks,
for
Mike.
Good reason.
Also over the weekend, help yourself, kids. Springfield, Missouri, called Justin Butts. Castle Rock, Colorado, Harry Ball. Conway, Missouri, Amanda Buttram. There's a guy in St. Louis in the phone book. Initials, M-Y. My last name, Butt. B-U-T-T.
That's unfortunate. My butt. Sometimes the simplest ones are the best.
There's a guy in...
S was M-Y Butt.
St. Pete, Florida. Richard Large.
Well, then maybe he uses his proper name all the time.
Of course, there are many Ben Dovers everywhere.
Yes, Ben Dover. That's a legitimate name. Who is the dentist or whatever, the guy that was right here in Rockville that you knew?
Oh, yeah.
We used to get hundreds of calls.
The guy, seriously, his name...
Seymour.
Seymour...
Beaver.
Seymour Beaver was the guy's name, a real dentist, and had it like made up on his cards.
Was he a dentist or a gynecologist?
No, he was a dentist. He was.
I thought really he was. I swear to God.
Sure. Gayford Buttram of St. Louis.
Gayford.
G-A-Y-F-O-R-D.
Gayford
Buttram.
Gayford.
And then from Kansas City, there is Michael Huntsucker.
Wow.
H-U-N-T-S-U-C-K-E-R.
Well, I'm sure he'll make somebody a nice husband.
Anyway, that's a crazy, crazy blog from the intro now.
Sure is. Kooky Crazy Blog is a copyrighted feature.
I don't know if you have the new issue of Rolling Stone magazine or not. They have, I'm liking Rolling Stone more and more because of the list factor. Mm-hmm. I'm crazy about a good list. And they have a list of the 25 best songs to listen to when you're high.
Okay.
When you're high.
I've never inhaled, so I don't know what would be good to listen to.
Let me see. We,
it's a really good hit.
We do have the top 10. I will tell you some of the songs.
Has to have it, Floyd on there.
Some of the songs that make it from 10 to 25 include 1979 by the Smashing Pumpkins.
How does that go?
Blue Monday by New Order.
Uh-huh.
Roses Are Red by Ween. No Quarter by Zeppelin. Float On by Modest Mouth.
Right.
And then I think we do have the top 10 here somewhere.
Oh, good. We actually can listen to the top 10.
Oh, that is great.
That's right.
That's perfect on a Wednesday, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, man.
Backwards from number 10 to number 1.
That's right, Rob.
Because I'm coming on.
Number 10.
Well, it would have been better about an hour and 10 minutes ago.
10, the 10th best song to get high to. Dr. Dre. Ain't nothing but a G thing.
1, 2, 3 into the folk. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope.
Okay, that's number 10.
Right.
Here's number 9.
I feel mellow already.
Number 9 is Radiohead. Everything in its right place, man.
It's a great song. It's a great song, high or not, in my opinion. That's my skull. I'm so wasted.
I hear bees.
And show me, seriously, a better stoner that holds up than Jeff Spicoli. He still is the definitive stoner.
Yeah. Number 8. I don't know who they asked about this.
Oh, it's Joe Cocker.
I know it's Joe Cocker.
You can look at Joe Cocker.
But who gets high to feeling all right? Right? Am I right or am I right?
You're right.
Who gets high to that?
Am I right or am I right?
I'm pretty sure that's Taylor Hicks, Don.
Hey, did you see the picture of Taylor Hicks with the anchor woman?
No.
No.
This picture of him frolicking on a beach with a bikini-clad babe, and it's some anchor lady from some southern city. She's not that hot either.
Number 7, best song to listen to when you're high, Janis Joplin.
Which one?
Vomit. Summertime by Janis Joplin. I've never heard of this song.
But, you know, whenever you play anything Joplin, I smell vomit.
Except that's the first thing I think of, too, right? Vomit, right. Joplin equals vomit.
And whenever we talk about Joplin, we would always do that.
Hey, 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 Bobby McGee. Baby.
Well, this is definitely a high song.
Welcome to Arden Juice.
You just come in through the beads.
It's like the Blue Boy episode of Dragnet. Because I know what you mean, the beads, like...
You walk in, and you're straight, and everybody else is high, and they're all sitting on couches looking at you like...
They're on pillows.
What do you want, man?
Everybody's sitting Indian style on pillows.
Everybody's got bell-bottoms on.
Okay.
Oh, listen to that gagging throat. Yeah.
Here we go, number 6. Sing it, baby. Fog hat. Man, oh, man, do I like this.
When you get high...
Who doesn't like
me? Bar, beers, buzz. I did you a favor. You do me a favor. Honey, I've got to have some marijuana.
I don't think this is... Do you consider this a...
Stoner
song? I think this is more like a great rock and roll song.
Yeah, Tom 40 hit.
That I grew up with.
Number 5. This, to me, seems to be a cliche. If you have to listen to this song when you're high... You don't know how to get high.
Or do I?
Well, you know, he loves this song. This is his song. This is his karaoke song.
But this is like acid LSD song. This is not a weed song.
That's true. But
well, what do you think, Buzz?
Acid's not in anymore, so that only leaves weed.
Do you want to sing along to it?
One pill makes you larger. One pill makes you
number 4. No, I would have to agree with number 4. Hendrix. Yeah. Purple Haze. Yeah. Goddamn right.
And once again, I have to say, a great song, I'm sure, to get high to, but just a great song in general.
But unlike...
A lot of good songs on this list.
Slow Ride, I would say, is a great song.
Yeah.
Purple Haze, yeah. That's... Get high to that.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah, and now
you picture that song playing in a van down by the river.
We'll go with a couple I don't know the artist or the song. A group called Spiritualized. Ladies and gentlemen, we are floating in space.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're floating in space.
This is the third best song to listen to when you're high, according to Rolling Stone.
Really? Wow, cool.
Yeah, you can tell.
La, 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 la,
you know what? I'm not. not even high, but I'm getting high listening to this.
So much reminds me, how come there's no Oasis on this one? Isn't Oasis a good get high to band?
You must be confused. You're thinking of the song Midnight at the Oasis by Maria Muldaur.
All right, number two is
Where's Floyd?
Also a surprise.
Sangina. You know what? No. I will forever hate him for that.
Really?
That one song, when he went, "Girl, you really got me down." And he doesn't even come anywhere near that note.
Here is the second most popular song, the Far Side, Pharcyde.
Okay.
Very good.
Pack the pipe. Everybody do the figure eight with their head. Everybody do the figure eight. You know, really, I don't want you to do this while you're driving, but if you're at home, you do the figure eight with your head. You get the same effect. But it's got to be that you're not doing the figure. You are not doing the figure eight. You were going back and forth. You weren't doing the figure. If you really concentrate and try to do a figure eight to that song, it'll have the same effect.
Hard to get in rhythm, though.
Now, the number one song, Mike, is in fact by Pink Floyd.
Thank you.
Now, I'm really not a Floyd fanatic. Okay. I don't know a lot of Pink Floyd songs, so bear with me.
All right.
Shine on, you crazy diamond.
You better watch out. You better not
It's
die.
Wing.
Stop it. That's a bad joke.
It's Wing again.
Hey. Wing.
That's pretty good. Epping Wing.
That is, yes, it is. Here is, I know it is. Pink Floyd, Shine On You Crazy Diamond, parts 1-5.
Oh, I love Floyd. Nothing like Pink Floyd.
Especially when you're high. Pink Floyd.
I'm coming home, I've done my time.
You know what you do? You put this to Wizard of Oz, and it's great.
All right. Fantastic. We got a break, so let's just really hear it. Shine On You Crazy Diamond, parts 1-5, Pink Floyd. According to Rolling Stone, the best song to listen to when you're high.
Pink Murphy. And that bitch that he sang with.
Kelly Stover.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the Floyd mod.
Can we just play this?
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole tray.
I wish I had this in the car on the way home. Yeah. I swear to God.
Thank
you. I can have it?
You can have the disc, Mike.
Oh, good. I'll take it.
You can have the disc. It's got all 10 songs on it.
Oh, good, 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 good.
I'd rather hear this.
Fog Murphy.
Hey, good quality.
What the hell's wrong? Was this like the vinyl version?
Don't worry, his website offers full refunds if not curly Saturday.
It's that quality reproduction.
Yeah.
Strangely better.
It's good. Hold on.
Not good at reproducing anything.
Another great Dennis Murphy song to get high to. Listen to when you're high.
Maybe we've played the CD so many times it's finally wearing out.
Notorious stoner, Dennis Murphy.
And now here they are with Shine On, You Crazy Diamond. Pink Floyd.
Every breath you take.
There he is.
Every move you make.
Want to send that out to John Kaufman, who's known as Jack. Sharon DeCox from St. Louis, Missouri. Justin Butts, Harry Ball, Amanda Buttram, M.Y. Butt.
All of them. Every single
That's
one.
That's his name.
And here's a reminder, a health
Michael
reminder.
Michael Huntsucker.
Here's a reminder for you. Even Rice Krispie teeth. Forget it.
Okay.
I'm still thinking of that. Even Rice Krispie treats can break teeth.
That's true.
That's right.
My name is Michael Huntsucker. You can call me Mike. Okay?
Okay, we'll go to see your auntie, okay?
Okay, Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Okay.
What can you get high? Listen to my record.
Woo!
One hand, one heart.
Come on, Bull.
Hello, Bull.
Moo.
Cook, 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 cook.
Moo.
I don't have your presents. This is another one of my favorite songs.
Pink Floyd.
My goober suddenly appear. Every time you're on it, on you.
Just a bunch of white trash.
Thank you.
If it's human waste, save some for me.
Thank you, Shepard Smith.
Got a break. Be right back with our celebrity hotline.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What happens to The View?
Well, depending on who they get. If they get the right person, it'll do okay. And if they get the wrong person, it'll be, you know, pretty bad. If I look at Joy Behar, if you're going to rely on her, she's got absolutely no entertainment ability. She's got no anything. I actually stayed. I just got back from Mexico. I watched the Miss I own the Miss Universe pageant, and I was there last night in Mexico City. It was a great success. And I got back early in the morning. I turned on The View is on, and I watched Joy Behar. She has absolutely no talent, the most aggravating voice, the whole deal with her 25-year relationship with this one guy. I mean, if they have people like her, this thing won't last for a week.
The Don and Mike Show.
Donald.
He won't shut up, will he?
Donald.
Suck it all.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Right.
Suck on that, losers.
What glorious goo.
Right.
You are clearly unstable.
Well, I mentioned, Mike, it's time for our celebrity hotline.
Oh, I'm excited.
Now, maybe you've seen these cats every year. They used to be on the Johnny Carson show. Now they're on the Letterman show every year with the 38th annual National Hollerin' Contest.
Oh, the Hollerin' Contest.
Right, we've got a guy on one of these lines who's the coordinator, and also we have last year's winner. But this year's contest, the National Hollerin' Contest, is June 16th. Here is Wayne Edwards. Hi, Wayne.
Good evening.
Hi, nice to have you with us. And the last year's winner, Tony Peacock.
Hi, Tony.
Hello.
And where does the event take place, Wayne?
June 16th, 2007, at Spivey's Corner, North Carolina.
Spivey's Corner, North Carolina.
Spivey's Corner, North Carolina.
Was it on the old Tonight Show with Johnny Carson? Was that the first time that you guys went on national TV?
I don't remember. Now, be honest, it was either that or the Mike Douglas show.
Now, Wayne, you coordinate this event. Have you participated in the event in the years past?
No, sir.
Why not?
I'm the one that gets hollered at the rest of the year. You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Why not? Hey, who's your driver?
Wayne, who's your driver?
That would be my wife. She keeps me where I need to be at.
The correct answer, sir, would be someone from the NASCAR nation.
Yes, we usually. Tony, who's your driver?
I like several of them. You know, I'm a Earnhardt Jr. fan, and
do you like Michael? What about Michael Waltrip?
Oh, he's all right. Yeah, like him a lot. Yeah.
Pick up on it too, Mike.
That's interesting. But I guess Dale Jr. would be your favorite?
You don't say many bad things about Dale Jr. in our part of the country, no.
Now, Wayne, you're the coordinator. 38 years this has been going on. The hollering, per se, it's not a screaming like that. It's not screaming like that. A lot of times, isn't it guys like coming out and making weird offbeat sounds?
And isn't it, Wayne, it's designed to carry a distance, right? Is that what this was? This came out of like the need for people in rural communities that didn't have phones to get each other's attention. Isn't that how this came about?
Well, that was the first type of communication that the farmers and all had down in eastern North Carolina. And that was the way they communicated back with their wives at the house, with their neighbors. And it just grew to be the first type of communication really known to mankind.
And it's not calling pigs or anything. It's just communicating.
Hollering.
Like, you just let them know you're there. Were there different hollers that would communicate different things?
Oh, yes. There was four different types.
Four different types. What were the four?
The communicative holler, and the distress holler, and the expressive holler.
The expressive holler.
And the distress holler.
I think you mentioned distress holler.
I think we had that one already. Yeah. Wayne, are you disturbed by the phenomenon with the young people of our country with holla out? You want to holla at someone? Do you think it takes away from your hollering if someone does H-O-L-L-A?
Well, you know, we like to promote Spivey's Corner as being a place where we still hold on to the life, liberty, and the brotherhood of having a hollering good time.
What not? Now, at the big event, the hollering contest, what else is at the event? Is there any good old down-home cooking?
Oh, good old down-home cooking. We get the members of the Spivey's Corner Volunteer Fire Department prepare the good old North Carolina barbecue and barbecue chicken and all the trimmings and all to go with it and all the other stuff, french fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, you know how it is. We'll have a pile for people to come down and participate in. But, you know, you were talking about the hollering. It's just so amazing.
Wayne, how many people will be hollering this year? How many contestants?
I hope we're going to have probably 50 contestants plus in the different contests.
You got a lot of women that participate in this?
The women come in pretty strong, I'll be honest. So they... And you know, guys, it is so amazing to see the type of people, and it's like I've shared with some before. A lot of people think we're down here, we're a bunch of country hillbilly folks.
No.
Just a bunch of white trash.
But let me tell you, these people that come and enter this contest, they've been back and they've studied their heritage. They know where they're coming from. This is a part of history that we're trying to maintain, a part of heritage.
What
that's
not?
So valuable to every one of us that we need to go back and look at things that we can hold on to. And the people that come in and win these contests, they practice all year long.
Now, Tony, do you have to do all types of hollering? We mentioned the distress, the expressive,
the communicative.
And the functional holler that you would have used on the farm, like to call for water or... sometimes people would holler work tunes when they were in a group working together to make the work go faster. So,
how long have you been hollering, Tony?
I started seriously practicing to compete after the 97 contest. So I've been hollering about 10 years.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
And the first year I competed was 98, and I did not win that year because I called off. I didn't even place that year. I didn't know quite what I was doing, so I had to go back
and learn
the traditional ones.
The traditional hollering.
Tony, besides getting the trip to Beyond the Letterman Show, which is a big deal, what do you get as winner of the National Hollering Contest?
You get a big trophy, and you get to do a lot of radio interviews. And, of course, the first time I won in 1999, we did get a trip to be on David Letterman. And this year, my wife and I got a trip to Los Angeles. We went on the Megan Mullally show. So,
We do a lot of hollering locally
for people if they want to hear it.
So you went from Letterman to Megan Mullally. You got to go back up to Letterman again. You know?
Right. We'd love a chance to go back on Letterman.
Has anyone ever told you that you have a speaking voice that sounds a lot like Michael Waltrip?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that before. I've been told that I sound like Forrest Gump before.
You have the sound almost, sir, of a fancy lad. Tony.
Hey, Tony, let me ask you your vital stats. How tall are you? How much do you weigh?
I'm about 6'3" and a half, and I weigh more than I should now, which is about 250. I'm a big guy.
You're a big, big man.
All right, well, Tony, if we could impose on you, please. You do it all the time, but it would be special for us if we could hear your winning holler from last year's National Hollering Contest, please.
Okay. Well, I did several because we had 4 minutes.
Well, identify them before you do them. We want to hear the type of holler we're going to get.
Okay, I'll do a sampling for you. The communicative, which would be like a good morning holler, this would be one.
Very good.
Here's a song by a gay guy.
Wow. Now,
Very. It's a musical. It's got a musical quality to it, Tony.
That was glorious, Tony. May we hear another, please?
And then Distress, if you got in trouble, this would be your 911 call across the woods with the echo.
Let's hear that one.
You are clearly unstable.
A precursor to the siren. If you
sounds like a siren.
And,
one more, maybe?
Then we had late in the afternoon when all the work was done, you'd holler a little tune, maybe folk or hymn. And so I'll do a tiny bit of shortening bread.
Shortening bread, yes. Okay. Please, shortening bread. Thank you, Paula. I mean, Tony.
I'm mocking you, dork. Shut up.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
That's fantastic.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, Wayne, we want to thank you for your time, sir, with the 38th Annual National Hollering Contest in Spivey's Creek?
Spivey's Corner.
Spivey's Corner, North Carolina.
And when's it come up again?
June 16th, and this will be the 39th annual event. And we want to invite everyone to come on down. And I'm going to be honest with you. When the people are on that stage of hollering,
it really
sinks in on you. And you would be surprised at the people that come that want to get on that stage and try it.
I don't think we would, sir. And we'd love to have you on the show.
That would be fun.
Again in the future. And Clay Aiken, we want to thank you as well. Tony's Peacock.
Tony Peacock, thank you very much.
Last year's winner.
Thank you, sir.
Pleasure having both you guys on the show.
All right. Okay. Have a nice evening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
My best to your wife, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Which we think you thought you did not have.
That's Wayne Edwards and Paula Deen from the Food Network.
What not?
Wow. That's interesting.
He did have that Michael Waltrip collar.
Woo! Well, I feel that we have not qualified for any races this year, but the Toyota team.
I'm just very excited about the fact that I will not be participating in the NASCAR event this weekend. I will be at the Spivey's Corner Hollering Contest.
Did I tell you how close I came to going to Jamster on Saturday? Was it Sunday? When was the NASCAR race, the one from Charlotte? Sunday. I came so close. Right at the beginning, they had DW announce that if you went to Jamster, you could get his ringtone, and it's him going, boogity, boogity, boogity. It goes, boogity, boogity, boogity. Pick up the phone, you big dummy. And I really thought about it until I pictured myself for the very first time, like in the grocery store.
Oh, that'd be embarrassing.
Because it's retarded enough when my Batman song comes on, but I don't want to hear, boogity, boogity, boogity. Pick up the phone, you dummy.
You mean you don't want to have Michael's older brother?
Old DW.
DW, Darryl Waltrip.
Well, I like those guys. They're great. Thank you, Wayne. Thank you, Tony. And it's almost time.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Almost time for a look at the war with Buzz Burbank, as we do every day at this time.
No war today.
Stand by. We'll be right back with Charles Elston.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
The stars of Quest for Fire, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
All right, let me see.
I could do some kind of buzzing. Dude, we heard the tapes today of the politically incorrect Jell-O ad.
Yes.
We heard Gelman sniffing Kelly Ripa.
That was very erotic.
We got 8 million tapes of Donald Trump screaming about Rosie. We've heard enough of those. Andy Rooney talking about his penis. We heard that.
Yeah.
David Hasselhoff sounds drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Again?
Here we go.
Everything happens for a reason, and for me it was a good wake-up call, and it's life, man.
He's loaded. I know he's loaded. That's drunk right
he's
there.
He's talking about staying sober.
He's talking about the reaction to this.
I'll be fine.
Tell me when to stop.
I'll be fine.
But you can tell, he's not just the way he sounds, But the content of what he's saying, he's dismissing the whole thing. Yeah, whatever.
And the cadence is all drunky.
Mm-hmm. And then here is Paula Abdul, who also sounds drunk.
Today started out a little stressful for me, but the photographer, Jack, made me feel comfortable.
Oh, that's so gorgeous.
I do like trying to dress up. I do, and I like pretending to be someone that I only am not.
And I like vomiting on my clothes.
And there is one last tape. I'm so glad you pulled this, Rob, that we didn't speak about. It's funny. I was watching the Today Show, and they had Matt Lauer with that tool Mitt Romney.
Oh.
And they were driving around. He's stumping up in New Hampshire, wherever the first primary is.
Mitt.
And they were driving around in the back of a van, and they were being he was interviewing him.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, I caught myself watching this, and I said to nobody, because I was sitting by myself, I said, wasn't it just like 2 weeks ago that they were up that guy's butt, the governor of New Jersey?
He's the flavor of the month.
When he was going to the Rutgers meeting about the IMUS thing, mm-hmm. that he got into a wreck, his SUV, his caravan got a wreck.
Are you talking about Corzine?
Yes, because he wasn't wearing a seatbelt.
Right.
And Matt Lauer was the guy that sat him down afterwards when he did his mea culpa.
Yeah.
When the governor said it was wrong, I cut a PSA.
Right.
Well, the next thing you know, Matt Lauer is on camera this morning mm-hmm. with Mitt Romney mm-hmm. driving in the back of a van. Well, they're not driving. Someone's driving, but they're right. being interviewed, and they have no seatbelts on.
And it's like a regular van. It's not one of those RVs or anything like that.
So I'm watching it and thinking, oh, my God, they really screwed up. They came back, and they offered this.
By the way, you may have noticed that as we were driving in that car and talking, Governor Romney and I were not wearing our seatbelts. As the guy who just interviewed John Corzine, the governor of New Jersey, for that same issue, I should have set a better example. There is no seatbelt law in New Hampshire. But again, it was the wrong example to set. I spoke to Governor Romney's people this morning. He released a statement saying, sometimes I forget to wear my seatbelt for my own safety.
Oh,
I
God.
Need to keep reminding myself to buckle up. Again, wrong example, and for that, I apologize. Tim Russert is NBC's Washington Bureau Chief and moderator of Meet the Press. Where do I send my dues to the dumb club, Tim?
And the only reason, of course, is because he did the interview with Corzine.
Right.
Otherwise, yeah. this is a non-issue. And probably the only reason he came out and did that is because he was deluged with mail, email, and people calling in.
Meanwhile, I'm watching this as just a schmuck watching this on TV thinking, okay, let's say you put in the legwork to send Matt Lauer up to New Hampshire, and you got a really worthless two-minute piece with Mitt Romney. You know you're going to get your balls busted because you don't have your seatbelts on.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you just scrap the thing?
Yeah.
Rather than come back and spend more time explaining that you didn't have a seatbelt on, they spent more time explaining it mm-hmm. than they actually did doing the interview.
8:31 on standby.
Hold the CGI.
Hold on. Tim
Russert admitted the fire.
Seatbelt on the toilet.
You have to
wear a seatbelt when he gets a sizzler.
Tim Russert. I was waiting for Tim Russert to go, Matt, you fathead.
Big Russ. There's your Big Russ. I got your Big Russ. Hi there, Charlie Elston.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I think those are all the news tapes we had.
All right. Good ones.
Is there one more? One more.
Rosie, you're fired.
Hey, so are you, Donald.
Yes.
Anyway, hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi there.
Well, you know how I hate to alarm people, so I'm delighted to bring you this news. Scientists have found antibodies that could protect humans against the bird flu. Some countries have already started stockpiling vaccines in case of an epidemic, but nobody knows if those vaccines will work. And if they're ever needed, these newly discovered antibodies could be added to that vaccine, all flu shots for that matter. Unlike existing vaccines, the new antibodies appear to work against multiple strains of the virus all at once. The new antibodies also work as a morning after shot, meaning they work even after the first bird flu symptoms might appear.
Bird flu there, boy.
So sure, boy.
Maybe we don't have to worry about that.
Sure. Every season.
Uh-huh.
Time.
That's right.
The birds.
Well, what does it matter if some guy with an incurable deadly tuberculosis gets on your airplane?
Now, hold on. Excuse me. Thank you, Rob. Buzz, why are aardvarks never sick?
I don't know, Don. Why are aardvarks never sick?
They're full of antibodies.
Where'd you get a joke like that?
from Jackie Martling. He's standing behind me with his mosquito.
You don't have the crickets for that?
No, the crickets.
Right.
I think it kind of goes without saying. The crickets are rather insulted that they got called out for that.
I apologize to the crickets, but I felt they needed to make an appearance.
They accept your apology.
Thank you. So what do you do if a guy with incurable deadly tuberculosis gets on your airplane? Well, passengers on the two flights...
Oh,
dear.
There's the man now. The guys on two flights taken by one infected man are being urged to get tested for TB now.
This is the guy they told not to fly.
Yeah, but...
I mean, they told him not to fly, and he flew anyway.
He did. And he says they knew better also.
Let's throw him out of the
ocean. It takes a long time for the disease to evolve. So there is time for people to get these tests done before they would pose any hazards to others. And so we're not concerned about the passengers posing a risk to other people at this point in time. We're just concerned for their own sake that they be assessed and either reassured or asked to participate in longer follow-up.
Let her talk to you for an hour and you'd want the disease.
So the guy gets on an airplane with tuberculosis.
And coughs. And everyone on the plane breathes the confined, recirculated air.
Oh, dear.
This ill American flew Air France from Atlanta to Paris on May 12th, then he flew Czech Air from Prague to Montreal on May 24th.
This is why on those cross-country flights, and those transatlantic flights, they ought to roll the windows down.
Something stinks like stale French fries.
Thank you.
This guy drove back to the U.S., where he's now under federal quarantine, the first federal quarantine in decades. Head of the Centers for Disease Control, that was her you heard a moment ago.
Yeah.
She made the announcement personally. That
hot doesn't... as diseased balls.
Very
yeah,
often.
Baby.
Hot as cotton balls.
The good news is TB is not easily transmitted, and 95% of the people treated for it are cured.
Does it make you itch?
No.
Only if you have mosquito bites.
Okay.
What if you have TBS?
Oh.
then you're lucky.
Which means you watch Turner Superstation.
The symptoms start 5 minutes later.
TBS.
Trying to think of. They don't even run the shows like it's 5 minutes after
is
the hour.
Is there anything famous on TBS now? Is there anything hot on TBS?
Mama's Family.
That's about it.
I cannot think of. Hold on, there's one show I watch on TBS. The little thing called Alice.
Jesus. As I said, is there anything hot on TBS? Is it really on TBS?
Yes, it is.
Wow. Thank God.
Sure, it is, along with Mama's Family. And,
wow.
I think. What's the one that I actually saw an ad for? What was that awful show with a little girl that pretended to be a... Small Wonder.
Small Wonder. Mm-hmm.
Small Wonder is coming back to TBS.
And does TBS, do they show Night Calls?
Night Calls? You mean the Playboy
yeah,
one?
Yeah, isn't that on TBS?
I love Night Calls.
It's a good show.
I love Night Calls until a guy calls in.
Bad.
Like if they're just talking or they're talking to a woman on the phone, as soon as a guy calls in the Night Calls, it's, you know...
That's bad, right?
Very bad.
It's creepy. Sure.
Hey, yeah. You know, you get this guy, there's two women on the couch and they're half naked and all of a sudden the guy calls and goes, yeah, watch you at home. It's like, no! Stop it!
Well, one airline's taking some heat over the video it offers. And one 48-year-old man demanded to see the captain about it. Complaints have been filed against Delta Airlines for showing HBO's Rome and the Ali G show. Both shows contain adult material. Rome especially has nudity and sex scenes. These appeared, these programs, they appeared on the overhead screens.
Oh, come on, hey, hold on a second.
What?
Who would not watch TBS? Seriously, tonight?
What do they got?
It appears to be a marathon of the King of Queens.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
everybody loves Raymond and the King of Queens.
This changes everything.
Oh, God. Like, oh, what do you just give up? Really, what a horrible lineup. I mean, God, you have to wait till 11 o'clock for Galaxy Quest.
Hold on, Mike. It's a bonus night, though. Because on CBS, tonight from 8 till 9,
oh, no.
They're rerunning two first-run episodes of King of Queens.
When did this become the show? When did this become the go-to show?
When it was leaving.
Well, the reason all this is on right now is that the sweeps are over. And now that they know our lives are over, there's no more shows on that we have to watch all the time, that we have to watch every weekend, that we have to obsess about.
Oh, so I have to get out of here.
They just put Leah back.
Why, what's I have to fly out to Los Angeles. For the next best thing.
Oh, that's right.
I have to get out of there for the Impressionist show. Impressionist reality show.
You have to be a lookalike as well.
Oh, a lookalike. Yeah. Oh, I'm out. I can't do that. Well, on this Delta flight.
Right here on the Jerry Todd Show here this morning. And we'll play the incredible contest in just a sec. But right now, a little business to take care of.
I always watch the Jerry Todd Show.
Jerry Todd weather.
And it looks pretty good, it does. It is going to be cloudy. Don't think it'll rain, though. Let's
this is what I'm watching tonight.
Right now, overnight
Jerry Todd.
Of 45 degrees. That's a little on the chilly side. Checking the high, going to get up to 63 degrees.
He's a video jock.
Right.
The Jerry Todd Show.
Okay, here we go. Time to make our next incredible contest cash call. And here's hoping that we have a winner this hour. We're calling at random. someone in the local area here on the Jerry Todd Show.
Hello?
And we'll see who we've got on the video phone. Hello? You're on the Jerry Todd Show.
Hello? Who is this?
This is Jerry Todd. Can you tell us how much money is in the Incredible Contest jackpot this hour?
Count Floyd.
What?
How much money in the Incredible Contest jackpot this hour? You can win it all if you know the correct figure.
$2,029.
I'm sorry, you are wrong.
Please.
And we will make another call. Next hour, we'll add $10 to the jackpot. Meantime, right now on the Jerry Todd Show, a little more video.
Video for you.
Well, they were showing a video on this Delta flight. On the overhead screens, the HBO's Rome and Ali G show. It was a mistake, and Delta's apologizing for it. But Delta defends its decision to provide these shows to the private screens, which is what it intended in the first place. That's where the airline and the complainers part company again. The offended adults say an airplane is a public place with children present. And quoting one guy, I often find myself watching someone else's screen. And now a group called Morality in Media is all over this. Delta was criticized earlier this year for editing the word God out of its movies, including in the line, God Save the Queen, from the Helen Mirren movie, The Queen.
Wow.
Delta has also apologized for that.
Boy, all of the networks collectively tonight, they've given up. Listen to this. Here are your choices at 8 o'clock. The Celebrity Show on Channel 7, ABC. Two reruns of King of Queens on CBS. So You Can Dance on Fox, and on NBC, four back-to-back episodes of TV's most outrageous moments.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love TV, and it makes me want to, dare I say it, read a book.
No! Wow.
Ouch.
Some movie theaters have come up with a new device I think we should immediately hand over to Don Geronimo. It's a remote control device for paging the manager if anyone's talking during the movie, in a way that detracts from your enjoyment.
You know, Mike was talking to me about this in real life off the air yesterday, and the problem with this device is, Buzz, I know it's by the Lowe's movie chain.
This one's Regal, so maybe...
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake. You're correct. It's Regal. I'm sorry. The problem is, no matter who has the chain, it would have to be a responsible movie viewer like myself who would be in charge of the button.
They have a plan for that.
Because there are four buttons. There's a button if there's something
Can't they give one to you and give one to everybody else?
No. One. One for showing.
Because you got a button for the picture's bad, a button for the sound is bad,
right.
A button for there's a dick who won't stop talking, and is there an emergency button?
Yeah, I think so.
There are four buttons on this thing.
You could actually, even before they started the previews of coming attractions, you'd hit the... There's a dick that's talking button.
See, but here's the thing. Two things. First, who wants to be the narc, right? I mean, you don't want
to... Well, that's the whole idea. Isn't the whole idea that it's anonymous?
It's on the down low. They don't let anybody else see the handing off of the pager, and they just pick out one member of the Crown Club loyalty program. Okay. So that's how they get their qualified member.
Let's say I'm lucky enough to have this device, because you know it's my pet peeve that people talk in the movie like they're watching TV and talking to their TVs.
Right.
So I've got some ass next to me that's talking. I push the button. Well, the goons from the theater come down and make a ruckus and ask him to be quiet. Isn't that pretty much the same as me turning around and just saying, hey, shut up, buddy?
Well,
aren't you causing as much of a problem
a little bit.
In the theater?
I think they do it with a minimum noise. They just come in and grab the guy and take him out. If they come into the theater and they look for the problem that you've paged them for.
One word takes care of all this. You don't have to worry.
What's that?
Taser.
Yeah. Taser.
A better
taser.
That would be the device.
You know, the juvenile, the JD in me, the juvenile delinquent wants to say, if you were a kid, wouldn't you have incredible fun? And what if you found out whatever electronic frequency it is that those things sent out the messages?
Hack it. Yeah.
If you had something and you could go to every theater and you just sat there and you start pressing the button like, pictures out in theater 5, sounds out in theater 6, some dick in theater 7. I mean, you could have a good time with that if you're just...
Well, also, though, don't you have to kind of identify the... I mean, if you hit a button that says there's an obnoxious talker, if you still have to point out to the ushers what seat he's in.
I think the plan is the manager steps into the screening room and looks for the problem that you've called him for.
You know, how is he going to see it if he's in the screen? You mean in the projection room?
No, in the screening room, in the theater itself, where the seats are.
So the manager would come down to the theater?
Yes. Yeah, or the screening room. They call them now screening room.
The screening room.
Right.
But he still has to ID the guy. If Don's got the button and he's got a talker and he hits the button,
right.
Is he counting on the usher to, like, clandestinely come in and kind of listen for a movie talker and then identify him? Or is Don going to be asked to ID the talker?
Absolutely. That's the point I was trying to make, saying, why don't I just yell at the guy myself? Because what I got to do at this point is when the guy comes down the aisle, go and screw it up for everybody in the theater, say, excuse me, officer! That's the man that's talking.
Yeah, I mean it's gotta be difficult. You're probably better off to just turn around.
They want you to remain anonymous, and like I said, they come in looking for the problem. If they see it, they act. If they don't see it, they probably don't act. And they may know where you're sitting.
It's a good idea. They just gotta get with me on this.
Right. I understand.
They really do.
Well, right now they're only doing
you agree with tasers?
Only if it's an important movie.
Okay. Right now they're only doing this in New York. If it works, the idea will spread. Regal,
for instance. The Departed, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Tasers. Right. Shrek 3,
doesn't matter.
Talk out loud like you're a mental patient.
Yeah, and you don't want to taser a kid. Don't want to taser a youngster.
Well, you turn down the power.
Well, it depends.
As an exception to every rule. Let's say you're at The Departed, and some moron brings his 3-year-old there. Well, taser.
You taser the father.
You taser the child.
Well, if you taser the dad, he's holding the 3-year-old, it might go right through his hands.
Yeah.
That's okay.
You have to taser the father
first. I told you it would work.
To get to the child. Regal says it knows talking is one of the reasons some of us don't go to movie theaters much anymore. They also know you don't like to have to leave the screening room to report that or any other problem like the picture and sound.
I don't want to hurt children. You just lose the child.
You lose the child, and not for just the length of the movie.
Forever. That's what I mean. You bring a child old enough to screw up a movie experience for adults. Mm-hmm. Immediately that child gets taken from you and gets sent to Angelina Jolie.
Welcome to the Don Geronimo home for movie talkers, kids.
I don't think you should send it to Angelina. I think there should be a big glass aquarium in the lobby. And you put the children in there, and that way you can look at them while you're waiting.
When you say aquarium, it's like a fish tank. It's a place where they can play and eat. And
a terrarium.
A terrarium.
No water.
They can actually be fed. And all the other patrons can watch the kids, on the other side of the glass.
A plexiglass jail.
Yeah, like a prison, a confinement area.
Brilliant.
A prison for children.
Exactly.
Not a prison, like a display area. And they will grow strong on a diet of popcorn and Hawaiian punch.
Yeah, it'd be like looking at the pandas.
Exactly.
Only they're movie talkers, kids.
What part of the cow is the Angus? That's our story when we return.
The Angus is,
Angus.
Remember, you take that G out, what word do you have, huh?
The bad place.
Right. Am I right?
You're right.
Am I right?
Right. Right.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
They will make you sack rub mental. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
The show is great.
Thank you. Funny.
The show's gonna be funny.
What's the best part of the show?
No.
Yeah, why is that?
So good.
You want more news?
Oh no.
How about a buzz makes the news nice?
Okay, there you go.
Welcome back, everybody.
Welcome back to the show.
Hi there, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Meryl. If they were mad before, what are they now? A mother's against drunk driving, I mean. Because in spite of our tougher laws, despite the lower legal limits and bigger punishment, drunk driving is at its highest level in 15 years.
Would be M-A-D-D-D.
Mad.
It's M-A-D-D. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. Mad.
Mad-da-da.
No, mad-da.
Mad-da.
Mad-da-da-da.
No, it would be, then it would be mad-da.
This is like what bothers me on the Quiznos ad.
I know.
On the Quiznos ad, it says, Quiznos. The guy on the voiceover says,
Doesn't match.
There's not enough mms.
That's right.
Well, it would be mad-da.
Mad-da. That's what I said, mad-da.
But you're going mad-da.
Mad-da.
But you have to go mad-da.
Mad-da. M-A-D-D. Mad-da.
My brain hurts.
Hi, Bob.
Hi. We lost nearly 18,000 people this way last year. It's three times as many as...
Drunk driving.
That's bad.
Yeah, it is.
Bad.
It's up about 2.5% from the year before.
I love making bold statements.
Very, very controversial. Nobody
very does. Empowering. Yeah. That's bad.
What?
Bad. Duh.
What?
Weigh in on murder.
What?
Murder.
It can be bad.
Exactly.
It depends. It just depends.
That traffic, that's murder.
Uh-huh.
Which brings us to this. What does a yellow light mean?
Slow down.
This is the question that tripped up the most people in a pop quiz of American drivers. GMA Insurance studied millions of us and found that nearly 1 in 4 of us could not pass the written driving test if we had to take it again right now with no study.
Joe.
23% of us failed the pop quiz. That's 36 million confused people out there right now. No surprise. Only 16% of us know that a yellow light means stop if you can do so safely. It does not mean speed up, slow down, or any of the other wrong answers given. New York drivers scored the lowest overall. Motorists in Idaho scored the highest. The second toughest question was about following distance. The answer is 2 seconds, not one, not 15, two.
I wonder if Jim Source knows the correct answer for the stop-go lights.
Jim Source.
Do the Russians love their children, too? Stop me if this sounds familiar. The Russians yesterday tested new missiles they say can penetrate any missile defense system.
Hot.
By any, they mean ours. The Russians
still the enemy.
Yeah.
Still
look
the
at
enemy. They always have been.
Pooty poot.
The Russians say the U.S. plan to shield Europe with an anti-missile system would turn Europe into a powder keg. That's because our anti-missile system uses missiles at Russia's front door, Poland, or the Czech Republic. Russia doesn't think more weapons is a good idea, at least not from us, not there. This week's missile tests are Russia's way of emphasizing that point.
God.
And if you thought the Mexicans were mean when they booed Miss USA the other night, just know it could have been worse. Representatives from NBC actually spoke with the crowd in Mexico City during commercial breaks, urging them to be nice. The NBC rep told the crowd that bad behavior would make Mexico look bad in the eyes of the world.
Hello, senores and senoritas. My name is Senor Zucker from NBC. How many of you gringos like...
What was that?
Will and Grace.
Boo! You're bad. Go away from our country.
Who likes... Deal or no deal?
Boo, it sucks. Mr. Zucker.
Yes.
When are you leaving? Can I hitch a ride?
But as it turns out, Miss USA was booed almost everywhere she went in Mexico last week.
Who likes medium?
Even though she often spoke Spanish in public, and the crowd chanted, Mexico, Mexico, while she was trying to answer the judge's question during the interview competition. They tried to drown her out. Mexicans don't like U.S. policy, foreign or immigration, and Mexicans feel the U.S. always gets the upper hand in politics and sports. Yeah. Miss Mexico didn't even make the top five. Miss USA made the top five,
please,
even after falling down during a runway walk.
Excuse us for being the greatest nation on the face
amen.
Of the earth.
Amen. That's right.
That's
really,
that's,
amen.
That's the Mexico and every other goddamn country on this planet.
I agree.
Kiss our ass. Kiss our big American ass.
Yeah.
That cheeky chain of California burger joints known as Jack in the Box is being sued over the latest of its always entertaining TV commercials. This one poses the question, where on a cow will you find the Angus? The answer has a guy drawing a tiny circle in the air with his pencil. The company that owns Carl's Jr. and Hardee's is not amused. They pride themselves on the amount of Angus they serve every day. Jack in the Box is proud of the fact that it serves sirloin, not Angus. Now Carl's Hardee's is suing Jack in the Box for suggesting that Angus is a bad place and for comparing apples to oranges, or perhaps a metaphor of your own choosing.
Ed Bull,
how
yes.
are you to know?
Welcome to Jack in the Box.
Pretty good. Yeah. Pretty good.
Did you like sausage?
And then I sat and really worked it.
These are not the best French fries I've ever had.
And Wendy's has a policy, only 3 packets of chili sauce per customer. In Miami, one customer wanted 10. Sorry, said the manager, 3's the limit. There was a discussion. And then after listening to everything the manager had to say, the customer shot him.
Bacardi Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Over chili sauce.
Oh, God.
Bacardi Limon. Tony Diggs.
I'm going to have to shoot you.
You don't see them often, but there are $2 bills out there somewhere, legal currency. You just don't see them. Some employees at a Best Buy near Baltimore had apparently never seen a $2 bill before.
That's the queer money, right?
That's right.
Queer is a $2 bill, Mike.
Is that what it was, a $3 bill?
It used to be $3 bill. Queer is a $3 bill.
Queer is a $2.
But there really are $2 bills. But these people had never seen them before, so they called the police on their 57-year-old customer who tried to spend some $2 bills at the Best Buy there near Baltimore. The employees marked the bills. They noticed some ink had smeared. When the cops arrived, they noticed the serial numbers on the bills were sequential, so they put the man in handcuffs and took him to jail, where they added leg irons, and where he stayed for 3 hours until the Secret Service arrived. He's out now, and he's not happy. We'll let you know what, if anything, happens next.
Oh, Sue!
And finally, in Waukesha, Wisconsin, a 27-year-old man's been arrested after police say they found him with more than 1,500 pairs of girls' shoes stolen from all three of the city's public high schools.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
Oh, no. The man worked for a cable company, allegedly collected keys as he visited each school.
I'll be the best sex you will ever have.
They also found he had a bolt cutter, which he might have used to cut open lockers. A lot of the shoes were sneakers. He now faces 17 counts of burglary.
I'll be the one going to take off your clothes?
Police say this guy from Kenosha, a known shoe fetishist with a prior conviction, also collected high school yearbooks.
I'll make it feel really good for you, hon.
We don't know yet if he tried to match the faces with the feet.
I could probably teach you a few things. Like, you know, some positions and moves.
But we do know this, according to a police spokesman. Yeah. Quote, he liked to smell them.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC.
I am Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Chew on that. Oh, yeah, let's just go out of here.
Yeah. That's it. We got to fly everybody. See you with a brand new episode tomorrow. And we're out of here.
Good day to you, sir.
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 All right, head with your leopard arm.
Attention all mosquitoes. I'm about to step outside. Holla!
See you tomorrow.
Smell it.
Lick it. Lick it.
This is the Don and Mike Show.